are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, young brothers.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways you need to get up, you need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. So there are some cops in the hospital suffering from their wounds, huh? they're in the hospital. they're on leave trying to recover from their wounds. You chase somebody down and you beat the I don't know. I guess you kind of like you George Bush him, you know, you stick a firecracker up inside of him. and blow them up, and then you blame the frog. These are amazing times. The cop kicked that man until he got tired of kicking him. He got tired of kicking him. Right here in St. Louis. Beat somebody, kick somebody. Did you see the cop kicking? Help me with the policy that is. Help me with the policy that says that we're allowed to kick until we get tired. Because, again, I am not a police officer. But when somebody is laying down on their stomach with two other cops beating them on both sides, help me with the, again, I don't know all the intricacies of training. And, but I have seen Abu Ghraib. I have seen Abu Ghraib, so I do know that there's some funky stuff going on in the name of policing, getting information. And anybody that is wondering how, whether the United States can engage in horrific criminal behavior, mistreat prisoners, when they get to thousands and thousands of miles away over there in Iraq, all I have to say, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, is that it's homegrown. The energy, the understanding, the instincts even. They kicked him while he was on the ground, and he got an owie. The cop got an owie after he kicked him. What, baby, your toe hurts? Does your toe hurt from kicking him so hard? It's kind of like the man who beats his wife. And first of all says to her, I'd stop hitting you if you would get your face out my fist. And then he calls the doctor because he busted his knuckle in the middle of her nose. That's what this is. This is brutality. That's what brutality is. It's cruel. It's lawless. It's vicious. It's violent. And it is indefensible. Cruelty, brutality. And we have a police department saying, well, we have these police. The police officers couldn't make a report because they're at home with their wounds. What are you talking about? He got a bruise on his toe. What does that stop him from? How does that stop him from filing a report? Oh, I get it. Y'all are conferring with lawyers and you're conferring with defenders of brutality. How are we going to spin this? And I want to know the police policy that says that you can just run out. You can look at somebody and start chasing them. What'd he do? What did he do? He wasn't speeding. He wasn't in the commission of a crime. I don't care what you say, the police department, out of all of the companies, entities, institutions in the world, have not demonstrated the ability to read anybody's mind. Sister Cleo, they are not. This is outrageous. This is lawlessness. And this is racism. And this is brutality. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Now, you know it was nothing but the Klan that beat that man yesterday. And my point of view is we need to be tired of marching, singing, praying, singing sad songs and dreaming. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up, Liz.
When you say that it wasn't anything but the Klan, what you mean?
I mean that just what I said. Mm-hmm. It seems like it was an act of just a group of white folks from the South that decided that they just wanted to take the man to a damn tree.
Did you see how he was kicking him?
Yes, and after he kicked him one time, he came back around and kicked him again.
You know, and what are you kicking him for? He's on the ground. Who is he, and how is he fighting?
Well, these are the type of things that have been going on for many, many years. So, actually, it just don't surprise me of what they did. I mean, I'm not in shock about that. Mm. I'm in shock because we still dreaming. It's time for us to wake up. I mean, that was fine. Martin Luther King wanted peace and all this stuff. But, I mean, there will be no peace if there is no justice. And that's just the way I feel about it.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, sister.
Yes, Brother
Kumlia.
Good morning.
Oh, man. Look, did he throw his body on his foot?
Mm.
Is that how he got hurt?
Mm.
Did the baton hurt his hand or something when he was banging it across his head?
Why were they beating him? Why were they beating him? All he did was run.
Right. And I mean, it's like the police out there, they don't have nothing else to do. So when they get some action, little action, they just want to just take it out on somebody.
And
I
had a caller who called yesterday and really, I think unwittingly expressed the police mentality. The police officers that engage in this type of behavior and the police officers that defend them or stand silent on this type of behavior. He said that, well, with all these people out here that are being hurt in the street with speeding drivers and people being killed with speeding cars, I understand that it makes sense to catch him, and when you catch him, you want to beat the crap out of him. That's the mentality. And also, you cannot convince me that a cop who chases somebody down the streets of a city for, they hadn't done anything. You didn't see them in the middle of a murder. You didn't see them in the middle of any kind of crime. You cannot convince me. You cannot make sense. You shouldn't even let it come out your mouth. The fact of the matter is, any police officer that chases somebody down streets like that, he don't give a damn about any child that's up in the street. He doesn't give a damn about any person that's driving a car. He doesn't care about that community. So they're doing it because they're getting their yahoos on. That's what they're doing.
That's it. And they in the same mindset that they chasing the person in.
That's fact.
Because they both going in the same direction.
No, because of the person that they were chasing.
To make right.
The person that they were chasing wasn't trying to start no fight with nobody.
Right.
So that the cops are in a
That's
totally different place. That they're in a totally different place. It's outrageous.
Yeah, exactly.
It is outrageous.
And also, I want you to know that Bush changed his whole speech because Liz Brown predict what it was that he was going to say.
Thanks for you. What do you mean he changed his speech? What do you mean he changed his speech?
Yeah, he bought it up and threw it away, so now you got to rewrite a whole speech. Have somebody else do it.
There you go. And have somebody else read it to him in his ear.
Right.
Thanks for your call.
Take care.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Hello, Liz. That was ridiculous. The length of that chase all the way from Maplewood.
They didn't care.
All the way down
King's
Highway and all the way down Florissant. And to have to be comfortable in being able to come into the city realize that nothing was going to be about it.
That's right.
And I'm so glad that Fox 2 was in the air.
And what is so interesting is that cop looked up and saw them, and that's why he stopped.
Right.
He saw that helicopter there. That's why he stopped kicking him.
Mm-hmm.
It's just outrageous. It is absolutely, it is lawlessness, it is racist, and it is police brutality 101. And here's the thing, if this isn't a cover-up for wrongdoing, explain to me why cops haven't made a report yet.
I know.
Tell me why they haven't. What kind of chief do you have that says, my men are too, they're not in the hospital, they're too injured to fill out a report yet? Ain't that some stuff?
terrible, and it'll be interesting to see how this will be handled. But the police should not be able to enter the another police area's jurisdiction on something as trivial as this was. He looked suspicious.
He was black. He was black.
I know.
He was black. That was his suspicion. That was a suspicion.
And how do we know whether he tried to ram their car or not?
They're a liar.
And they lost two cars out of commission ramming an old van to get him. They had him boxed in, and they just backed up, rammed the van again, backed up, rammed the van again.
So
I think they've been watching too much cops or too much something.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Yes, Josephine.
You don't listen very well. The reason he was stopped was because he had the wrong plates on his automobile, which did not match the automobile.
And let me ask you this, Josephine, since you seem to be, since you want to act like you're an expert on what's going on.
This is what I heard on the news.
Hold on, darling. Police just don't run, aren't supposed to just run people's plates on a humbug. First they say he was suspicious. Then they say he was casing the joint. Then they say we ran his plates and the plates didn't match. And? You chase somebody? First of all, we only have the cop's word on that, first of all. Second of all, you're not allowed as a cop just to run somebody's plate because you see somebody. If that's the case, everybody should call up cops they know and have them go call a cop you know and ask him to run a plate of a friend of yours. If he's a lawful cop, he's not going to run the plates. Because they can't just run a plate on a humbug. And that's what they did with this guy. And that's the backstory that they're telling in order to defend the front story of the police brutality. I'm a great listener. And I know a whole lot more than you do. Oh, they can say, tell me what the report is. How would we know what any of this is? They haven't written down a word. All they've done is given spin so water carriers can come out and say that they're right. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I was calling to make a comment. Well, first I wanted to comment to what she said. How many people in a city don't have the correct plates on their car?
You're not allowed to run people's plates just because you see them.
Right. And then, Liz, if somebody's beating you and you're on the ground,
mm-hmm.
aren't you trying to get up? You got about five or six cops beating you, kicking you, punching you. Aren't you going to try to get up or cover up or do something
mm-hmm.
that's going to make it look like you're doing something or moving suspiciously or something?
You know what? Can I just share something with you? Because this is the twisted psychology. This is the psychosis that people of African descent have as a result of the hundreds of years of residence in the United States. I bet you everything that I have that somewhere in that man's mind was that because of what crimes have been committed against people of African descent, I suspect that somewhere in his mind he is saying, well, I can't fight back because then that'll give him another excuse
right.
to beat me. Now that's twisted. And that's a cost of doing business here in the United States of America, that black people have to factor that in their response process when a crime is being committed against them.
Right.
Ain't that some stuff?
It's some stuff, Liz. And didn't one of those cops look black?
I couldn't tell. But again, the fact that you have people there were Jews that helped put Jews in prison camps.
Right.
So, you know, that's not indicative of anything except that there are people that submit to the wickedness of the world that they live in.
Oh, yeah. Liz, one more thing. I bet you Bush uses terrorist About 10 times.
I'm saying 12. I'm putting the number at 12. All right.
Osama bin Laden, five.
Osama bin Laden, five. Okay.
Saddam Hussein, about 5 times.
5 for Saddam Hussein. Okay.
911, I give that about 10 times.
All right. Get your bets down. Get your bets down. We're still open for betting. How many times are you going to use terrorists? How many times are you going to use Osama bin Laden? How many times are you going to use 9/11? Got your numbers down.
Okay.
We'll see after tomorrow night.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for your call. Oh, tonight, 454-0400 is my phone number. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This will be the wake-up call. We've got so much to talk about. Stay with me. I'm not going anywhere. And it's a hard road to travel and a rough, rough way to go. But I can't turn back. My heart is fixed. My mind's made up. In my faith, we'll see me through.
Join the Power Hour, Let's Get Busy, hosted by Zaki Baruti at our new hour at 9 p.m. every Thursday night for insightful information and intelligent discussion of the issues of the day. Tune in to the Power Hour, Let's Get Busy. Remember, knowledge is power.
And good morning. It's 6:32 at WGNU. Our temperature reading is 32 degrees. And time for another look at traffic on the half hour, brought to you by the Missouri Department of Transportation. Eastbound 40 at Woods Mill and the 270 area, no problems to report. Eastbound 70 between Highway K and Highway 79, traffic is slow. Westbound 255 between the JB Bridge and I-55, traffic is moving in pretty good shape. Westbound 270 between the Canal Bridge and Newhall's Ferry is on the move. Northbound 270 between 55 and Marshall Road, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 70 between Zumble and the St. Charles Rock Road, that traffic is moving well at this hour. Eastbound 40 between Highway 94 and Timberlake Manor, traffic is on the go. Eastbound 44 between Highway 109 and Lindbergh, normal traffic volume. Northbound 55 between Richardson and Rivas Barracks Road is at the speed limit now. Northbound 270 between Gravois and 44, there's an incident report of glass in the roadway. Use caution there. And westbound Highway D, that's Page, between Pennsylvania and Hanley, all roadways are reopened after water main work earlier this morning. This report brought to you by I-55 Travel Safe Partnership. I-55 from Peavely to Festus is a travel safe zone. Buckle up, pay attention, and slow down. There are no warnings, only tickets when you speed, because we want you to arrive, and we want you to arrive alive. The WGNU forecast calls for partly sunny skies today with temperatures in the lower 40s. Tonight, not quite as cool with the overnight low near 40. Wednesday, cloudy skies in the morning, then some sun in the afternoon with temperatures in the lower 50s. Right now, the WGNU temperature reading 31 degrees. It's 6:33, and we'll return to more of the wake-up call with Liz Brown in just a moment.
Guy Gulman keeps you company after dark. Online at WGNU.net.
Spectacular skating, laughter, and unforgettable moments. Hi, it's Scott Hamilton, the producer of Smucker's Stars on Ice. This year's show celebrates our 20th anniversary, and we are so excited. It's a show about the show. You'll get a behind-the-scenes look from the past 20 years and see how it all happens, from auditions and rehearsals to opening night and everything in between. From our most shining accomplishments to some of the less than perfect moments, see skating's best Olympic and world champions in this one-night-only performance of Smucker's Stars on Ice.
With special guest Kurt Browning coming to Savas Center Friday, February 3rd, 7:30 p.m. Your tickets are on sale now at the box office, all Ticketmaster outlets, and at Ticketmaster.com. Kids and senior discounts available. Smucker's Stars on Ice, an IMG production.
It's going to be a great celebration, the 20th anniversary tour of Smucker's Stars on Ice.
Does your drinking water come from a private well? If so, the Illinois EPA and the Illinois Department of Public Health recommend that you test it periodically for bacteria and nitrates as well as other contaminants. Don't just assume your well water is safe. Test for it. For more information, call 1-888-372-1996 or go to IllinoisWellWater.org. News as clear as water, hopefully, from AM 920 WGNU.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Son, what you don't understand, my words might never explain. So I am hoping that time will.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. 454-0400 is my phone number. Please don't forget, you can check out my website at lizbrown.com. You can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. And our shows are archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. Get up, get to me. And don't forget, this Sunday at from 2 to 5 for at the History Museum, find out about how you can be an entrepreneur, how you can be an inventor. What's the next step in invention? When we talk to Robert McGee, he's going to show us his talk about his game, The Truth About the Matrix. So come on out to the History Museum on at Lindell and Boulevard, Lindell and DeBolivar, Sunday, February 5th. That is this Sunday from 2 to 5. For additional information, call 869-4222, 869-4222. The Truth About the Matrix We Live In Uncovered, and why you should start your own business, how you start your own business, what you need to do in order to be an inventor. Robert McGee at the History Museum. That's Lindell and DeBolivar this Sunday from 2 to 5. That's this Sunday. I'm Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, sister.
Good morning, Charles Quincy Troop.
This was really funny. Mm. I heard about it yesterday in the mayor's office. We were with Alderman from the 3rd and the 26th, and Freeman indicated that this happened in his ward. But the issue is, I think you, what I think, you, the one that was doing most of the kicking was from St. Louis. It was the St. Louis police officer. Mm. The way I understand it, what was reported to us at the mayor's office. And the way I understand it, he's in big trouble. I don't know what that means.
Well, I would hope that part of the trouble would be an assault charge. I would hope that part of the trouble would be the loss of their job. I would hope that the part of the trouble would be an admonishment from the police chief. He was kicking him. Why was he kicking him?
Well, I don't know. I guess that's standard operating procedure.
Mm.
But the other issue, Liz, this happened in the city of St. Louis, right?
Mm-hmm.
So our prosecutor have the right to prosecute county policeman
for doing
for committing these acts in her area, right?
And you know what? You're absolutely right, Quince. but you know what else we need to have a discussion about too? The residency rules. They want to open up the door and let all these cops from all these different jurisdictions. Look at this. Why would we want Maplewood cops as city cops? Look what they do. Look how lawless they are.
You know, but that's it's about police, misuse of police power.
That's fact.
Because it was clear to me, sitting in the mayor's office yesterday and talking about police pensions, talking about firemen's pensions, that was intimidation there to even discuss the police pension. And these were, you know, executive, quote, powerful white male.
I don't understand what you're saying, Quince.
Well, we were talking about the pension plan. They were saying, well, you know, if you do something to cause them to lose benefits or pension or something, then they might come up to you in the bar and knock you out. And I was saying, well, I heard that, but I don't believe it. I don't believe that you would even think that you as city executives are intimidated by the police.
By thugs.
Yeah, because you're trying to figure out whether or not you're going to stop cutting my trees, cleaning my streets, helping provide refuge and other services, you know, to my community, if I got a choice of whether I'm going to fund their plan at 100% or take care of my people, I'm going to take care of my people first.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the issue. I think most of the African-American aldermen felt that way, but that was that intimidation. But I think, I don't know now, I didn't see the tape, but I think that this person might have been a black person that was doing the kicking.
No, it wasn't a black person.
It wasn't?
No.
Was the one in black?
I don't. Was there a black person there?
I don't know.
Is that what your question is?
Yeah.
I don't know. But the person that was doing the kicking was a white guy.
Okay, well, you had the St. Louis police officer that was doing the kicking, too.
Okay.
And I'm trying to find out. I'll try to get more information on it, but that is a fact.
All right. Thanks, Quinn.
All right.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Mr. Brown.
Donnell, good morning.
How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
You know, I wonder, did these guys ever take the radio in to these other municipalities so they could have put those strips out to stop this vehicle?
Why would they do that?
Well, you would think it would be the right thing to do.
Why would they do that? They're doing exactly what they want to do. They wanted to give somebody a beat down.
They wanted
to chase in a car. They wanted to be on cops. In their mind, in the mind of the man that's driving away from the cops, he's thinking they're going to kill me. And the minds of the cops that are driving after him, we don't be on TV.
Right.
We're going to be on TV. Just two wildly different places in the world that they are. And we're going to get a beat down, and we're going to be on TV.
And I think it's really ironic all those police officers had to go to the hospital.
They're a bunch of... They are lying.
Because they're running across that field, they seem like they're perfectly normal.
They are lying.
They're kicking that guy.
They are lying.
There's no way this guy could have had a fractured wrist unless he did it. The part impacted this gentleman's head. And Alderman Troop, Representative Troop, he was right. One of those officers, that city officer, he was an African American. He was the one that kicked him. So the white guy did it also.
Okay.
Yeah. So have a good day.
I have an announcement to make. Coretta Scott King has just passed. Coretta Scott King has just died. The widow of Martin Luther King has just passed away. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, Liz, that's what I was calling to let you know. It's on CNN right now. Yes, it's just like losing.
How old is she?
Let's say 27 to 206.
I'm sorry?
Let's say 1927 to 206, so I guess that's 79 years of age.
Mm. Bless her heart.
Just losing another mother.
Bless her heart.
Yes.
Bless her heart.
Mm-hmm.
Did they say how she passed?
She in her sleep, I guess.
Okay.
You know she had that stroke.
Yes. And she did make the last Martin Luther King celebration.
Mm.
It was as a surprise guest.
Mm.
Thank you for that, Larry.
Okay, Leah.
454-0400 is my phone number in case you've just joined us. The widow of Martin Luther King has just passed on. Coretta Scott King just died. I'm Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. I think that... These are amazing times, folks. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning, Korean veteran.
Ms. Brown, that made my blood boil yesterday, that beating, the way they, brutality that they put on the gentleman. That, Ms. Brown, we got to do something about this police brutality now, because we all, I mean, you could be next, I could be next, all of us. I didn't hear of anything that the gentleman had done, but I do recall one time about the chases. The police were chasing someone, and something happened to the police, and they charged the person that was trying to get away from them with a murder. Isn't that so?
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, now suppose one of the officers that, I don't know anything that crime that the suspect had committed, but if something had happened to one of the officers, I imagine they would have charged the gentleman with murder, according to what they did before.
All right.
We got to stop this.
Absolutely.
And if you try to do anything, they say if you try to protect your head from those blows, they say, look at him. He's fighting back. Okay, then.
Thank
you. Have a blessed day.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And in case you haven't heard the news, the widow of Martin Luther King, Coretta Scott King, has just passed on. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get to me. Steve.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My condolences to the King family. I know Miss King's become just as much an American icon as her husband was. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I heard a statement yesterday. Somebody made a statement. They viewed that film, and they said, what I was thinking at the time was, my God, why don't they shoot that man? You know what? That is one of the most pathetic things, because you're going to have people endorsing this police action.
Somebody said, why don't they shoot the man on the ground?
Yeah, the guy said he was watching the video, and the first thing he was thinking is, my God, why don't they shoot that man? Isn't that pathetic that you're going to have people defending the actions of these police officers like this?
You wonder why Abu Ghraib happened?
You know, out in Berkeley, California, I saw a news thing on Lou Dobbs, whatever it was, but seems like a lot of citizens are gathering up video cameras and going out and filming some of these police actions, keeping a tab on these cops.
Have to. And
of
I
course,
got...
Okay, I understand. I'll let you go.
All right, thanks, Steve. We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. 454-0400 is my phone number. We're taking a break. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Listening to the issues that matter most on AM 920 WGNU.
We have issues that matter most to you, and so does Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Dr. Laura is heard Monday through Friday afternoons from 2 to 4 here on WGNU and provides advice and solutions to a wide range of problems affecting people just like you. Be a part of the program by calling 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Get a new attitude. Listen to Dr. Laura Schlesinger weekdays from 2 to 4 right here on AM 920 WGNU, the station with issues that matter most to you. Maple Temple Church of God in Christ presents its regular multimedia Sunday night radio broadcast at 8 o'clock every week here on WGNU. District Superintendent John Watson invites you to lift your spirit with prayer, preaching, teaching, and singing live from the sanctuary of Maple Temple, 5159 Maple Avenue. Catch the Maple Temple radio broadcast Sunday nights at 8 o'clock here on your weekend gospel voice of choice, AM 920 WGNU. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
There is a drum that beats steady and strong. It does not know defeat. I feel it loud and know the sound of truth. In every soul there is a memory, a standing tall. The proudest we could be. I cannot fall, for I recall we were born in.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Liz.
Yes.
I want to discuss the president's speech tonight, but first I'd like to echo something I heard in your station yesterday, just real quickly, concerning what happened yesterday.
The police brutality?
Yes, the beat down, you call it. I would call it beaten.
Mm-hmm.
Kicking, and like, I thought the same thing about when is a kick appropriate. Now, if he had a gun, if he had a gun, I could see the gun getting kicked out of his hand.
Absolutely.
But he had no gun.
He was laying on his stomach.
Kicking is not a procedure, but I heard a caller. I don't know who the caller was, but I thought to myself, yeah, this is right. Now, these are two different situations I'm going to mention here that the caller brought up, and two different sets of cops, of course. But this has to do with cop adrenaline and losing control.
Well, look,
if the police, after they found their brother, after he had his legs pinned between a car, you know the case I'm talking about, if they didn't beat the drunk that night, I'm sure they had adrenaline going.
I have no idea of the connection that you're making.
Well, the connection is the people who justify this stuff by saying, well, the police are all excited and their adrenaline's going and they're angry. When one of their own is taken down from a drunk driver that happened a year ago
You're saying the fact that they didn't shoot and kill him.
Well, they didn't lose control. I'm sure they were
there
angry.
You go.
Now,
there
I
you
say,
go.
It's two
you're
different
right.
situations.
You're right.
Here,
you're right.
W tonight, I think, will mention September 11th, 8 to, I'm hoping, 11 times.
Okay, and how many times is he going to mention tourism? How many times are they going to use the word terrorism?
I think about that one. I think terrorism will be peppered throughout the speech.
Give me a number. Everybody's getting their bets down.
Okay. Terrorism, I would say nine times.
Nine times. Okay. I'm sticking on 12.
You discussed yesterday, it wasn't brought up. I wanted to get in with Bush as a bully. I have read accounts, and these come from his friends once again, as a young man, and he kind of touched on it with his language. He was a bully.
His mother was a bully when she was in school.
And it was like all bullies, when he could get away with it, when he could get away with a barroom fight, he was a bully. But now, and as I see it, he is in a position, he's got the most powerful army in the world to back up his bullying.
Yeah.
And it's like you say, interesting times indeed. But yes, he was a bully, and
all right. Thanks.
Thank you very
thanks
much
for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. I just want everybody to know. News over the wire: Coretta Scott King has just passed on. She was 78 years old, and she died at an Atlanta hospital. 454-0400 is my phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get to me. And she had been in poor health from a previous stroke. Coretta Scott King has just passed on. She was 78 years old. Steve.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
First off, I would like to think that the president will say his will, or crack our will, at least four times. Our will, we're going to say
four times. Okay, how many times is he going to say terrorism? How many times is he going to say 9/11?
Many times.
Pick a number.
Seven times of each. Another 14.
All right.
He's going to rock me to sleep. And also, I showed my niece, Officer Friendly, and yesterday how they work, and she was really surprised.
She
was really surprised. Officer Friendly could act like that.
Mm. Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Hi, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
I saw that yesterday where they were chasing the guy and kicking him all in the head and everything. Mm-hmm. And one of the cops did look like he was black, maybe mixed.
Okay.
He was kind of brown, you know.
Okay.
So he did look, and the others were white. Mm-hmm. But I was wondering why. Did they just not shoot the guy in the leg? Can't they shoot those?
Hold on for a second. Let's back up from what you just said. There are procedures of when you shoot somebody. Don't you want to live in a world and a society where shooting is as a last resort?
And I agree with you on that.
What did he do to...
You know what? That's not the case. You can't even say anything to these police officers nowadays. If you do, you're in trouble. You might as well, if they pull you over, not say a word. And just use all what you got in court, you know?
I disagree.
You disagree?
They're going to get you
if you say anything.
Well,
if you open your mouth, they're going to get you in it.
What did that young man do?
They didn't have any right to do that.
But what did he do? He submitted, right? And they beat the crap out of him. So what's the difference? At least you go down fighting.
Yeah, well, if you try to go down fighting, you might not live.
Well, then that's that.
But Liz,
you
know why Bush know that they had weapons of mass destruction in Iraq? Because he has the receipts.
There you go.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning. Regarding the beating yesterday, if the police really, really thought that he had done something so terrible.
If they had seen him do something.
Knowing where Richmond Heights and Maplewood are, why didn't they ram him in Maplewood, mm-hmm. Richmond Heights, Clayton, mm-hmm. Ladue? Because they had to go through all those communities, but they did wait till they got into North St. Louis
mm-hmm.
to ram the car.
Beat him down. And
tear
him
down.
Tear up people's stuff. Think about it.
North St. Louis in danger.
That's right. Put North St. Louis, put black folks in danger, tear up people's stuff, and then beat down somebody and then hide when the cameras get there. Ain't that some stuff?
Except it's amazing how loud a helicopter is,
mm-hmm.
and how long did it take them to realize that they were being videotaped?
Well, first they were probably planning in their mind, oh, I'm going to be on TV, and they're like, oh, snap, they're seeing what I'm doing. Oh, snap, better stop.
You have a nice day,
Lee. Take care of yourself. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Liz. I really want to tell you I'm enjoying your show, and I'd like to make a comment and ask you a question. My comment is that I'm not surprised about what happens every year to African Americans. I think one of the biggest problems is that we have too many classic passive African Americans who condone this type of deal and justify it, and whites depend on us being separated when it comes to justice, and they continually do the things they do because of it. And another, the question I want to ask you is that even though Bush is president, you can't overlook the fact that white people put him in there. And do you think that white people are going to start making better choices after Bush?
Well, here's the thing. We cannot forget that he stole the election. So he put himself in there. He stole the election. Ask the folks in Ohio. Ask the folks in Florida. Yeah, Ohio. Oh, absolutely. Ohio in the second time around and Florida the first time around.
The question that you need to be asking is
why people are defending him. But we see the numbers, the poll numbers going down. We see the approval. The only thing that they seem to like him on, the folks seem to like him because it's not black folks. The only thing they seem to like him on is making us more secure, which is a scary, dysfunctional, treatable, mental contradiction. And I got to roll. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Let me make a comment on this beatdown yesterday. You know, you see this type of behavior from people with authority. You see it on a dictatorship and police states.
Yes, you do. Well, you ask yourself, could Abu Ghraib happen? People ask that question when we saw the pictures of Liddy standing there laughing and smiling, when we saw the pictures of the people's bodies that had been brutalized, when we saw the silence from the military. People ask, how could this happen in America? All you have to do is travel the streets of St. Louis and you understand how this could how American soldiers can behave in this way because they're trained on the streets. It's acceptable in certain communities for cops to act like that. Not just St. Louis.
You have a great day.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. My name is T. I'm a first-time caller.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God for people like you and the King family, and my condolences go to them. And I want to call in to give what I think about what happened yesterday about the beatings. I feel that there was no justification for the beating, and I feel that anyone that claims to see any kind of justification, they need to check their morals. You know, and just talking with the lady, the caller that just called in, what if she has any kids? What if it was her son that they either beat or shot? Either one of those were still the wrong thing to do.
And let me throw a statistic at you, a poll that was taken. A poll was taken
over 1,000 Americans. They were asked the question, should there be warrantless searches or warrantless eavesdroppings on Americans in the pursuit of terror? Most Americans, or it was split, but most Americans said, yeah, it's okay. Then you know what the question was asked? Would you want your phone to be tapped? And you know what the majority said? No, I don't want my phone tapped. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Most the people that defend this certainly don't want this happening to themselves. And that's where you need to start. And that's where you need to start.
Another one too. You know, crooks, I feel that they were just as crooks themselves. They only have uniforms on.
Thanks for your call. Got a comment?
Yes, ma'am. Listen, now, at 5 o'clock yesterday, Karen Cook reported that the reason why they were off tonight was that he was at that same Quick Trip casing the joint. Then at 8 o'clock, Channel 2 says, oh, no, it's because his plates were wrong. Well,
they
which
alive.
One is it?
They alive. They alive.
Okay.
Bottom line, they alive. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I will be back at you after the break. Stay with me.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City Schools.
From ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger.
It's a bleak morning for me and for many people. And yet it's a great morning because we have a chance to look at her and see what she did and who she was.
Maya Angelou, remembering Coretta Scott King, the wife of Martin Luther King Jr., is dead at the age of 78. ABC's Aaron Katursky takes a look at her remarkable life.
My husband faced the possibility of death without bitterness or hatred.
Coretta Scott King publicly grieved for her husband.
He never despaired of well-doing. And he encouraged us to do likewise.
She herself figured prominently in the fight for racial equality.
We seek to recapture the power for good which we achieved through Martin Luther King Jr.'s movement for nonviolent social change.
In her last months, Coretta Scott King curtailed her public appearances but continued to work on behalf of the black community. Aaron Katursky, ABC News.
The search for a killer in Goleta, California has ended. She's among the dead after a shootout at a postal facility. The sheriff's department says she gunned down six people before killing herself. The woman worked at the mail sorting facility but apparently had problems with management and was fired about 2 years ago.
She had some problems with one of the supervisors on a tour one, and she had just like lost it, and we heard she was on some kind of medication, and we heard that she had not taken her medication when this incident happened about 2.5 years ago.
A former co-worker. The Senate votes to confirm Samuel Alito today. Most Republicans plan to vote yes, but over a dozen Democrats say they'll give him the thumbs down. President Bush delivers his State of the Union address tonight. Counselor to the President, Dan Bartlett.
What the President's going to do tonight is call upon the leaders here in Washington, D.C. to set aside the politics of the past, rise to the occasion. He will pledge tonight to do his part to elevate the tone of the debate, and I think that's what the public wants to hear.
This is ABC News.
After the baby, I started working out and got a pain reliever for my knees. Went back to work, got something else for tension headaches. Baby got big, I got one more for my back. Every new pain, a different pain reliever. But not anymore. Today, I'm all Advil. It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt, so I'm ready for anything. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed.
Have you ever thought you'd like to buy and sell houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready for a real home-based business that can get you out of the rat race and into financial freedom? Hi, this is Dolph DeRoos. I have engineered a proven system to real estate buying that will show you how to buy money-generating properties so you'll never have to work again. I'll send you a free tape that explains how easy it is. Call 1-800-300-0464. 1-800-300-0464. 1-800-300-0464.
A plane is on its way to the U.S. carrying wounded service members and ABC newsmen Bob Woodruff and Doug Vogt, co-anchor of World News Tonight and his cameraman, were wounded by a roadside bomb in Iraq. Woodruff's brother David on the progress his brother's made so far.
When we were in there seeing him, at one point he moved his legs when we were checking out his knee. So we're, again, very encouraged by that.
Vogt is talking, but doctors say both men have a long recovery ahead of them. A disturbing new video on Al Jazeera TV on it kidnapped American journalist Jill Carroll.
On it, you see her
not just crying, but weeping, wearing a conservative Islamic headscarf, reading a statement prepared for her by her captors in which they demand the release of all female prisoners being held by the U.S. and Iraqi authorities inside Iraq.
ABC's David Wright in Baghdad. The number of identity thefts is down, but the Better Business Bureau says people are losing more money when they are victims, more than $6,400. Daria Alvinger, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, as the investigation continues into what some are calling the use of excessive force during an arrest yesterday, Maplewood police are facing other allegations of brutality. Frank Licavoli of St. Louis says he was beaten by Maplewood officers during an arrest on a charge of indecent exposure at a restaurant. He plans on taking his complaint to court. Maplewood Police Chief James White says Licavoli's complaint is under investigation. The Missouri Highway Patrol is investigating yesterday's incident, in which television footage showed officers striking and kicking 33-year-old Edmund Burns after a chase. Missouri Congressman Russ Carnahan knows what he would like to hear during President Bush's State of the Union address tonight. Carnahan says the president is facing a lot of skepticism right now, and the president needs to set the tone for the year by this speech.
And reach out to find some real solutions, whether it's how we really have a plan to get our troops home from Iraq or how we really take care of some of these security issues at home.
President Bush's speech is expected to cover the war in Iraq, the economy, the domestic spying program, Iran's nuclear ambitions, and last week's election victory of Palestinian militant group Hamas. Finally this hour, the Blues have a different look as the team starts trading off high-salaried veteran talent. Yesterday, the Blues sent center Doug Waite to the Carolina Hurricanes in exchange for three draft picks and a trio of young players. The Waite deal came just hours after leading scorer Mike Sillinger was sent to the Nashville Predators for 22-year-old Timofey Sishkinov. Two of the players the Blues acquired in the Waite trade, forwards Jesse Bolarese and Mike Zigomanis, are set to join the Blues for Wednesday's game against Detroit. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. New, the Illinois Lottery's Ticket for the Cure. 100% of proceeds support the fight against breast cancer. Play Ticket for the Cure today, because when you play, everybody wins. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning. WGNU News Time is 7:06. Time for a look at traffic. Traffic being brought to you by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Northbound 270 between Gravois and 44, a couple of accidents on the right shoulder. Traffic is starting to back up near Highway 21. There's also a report of an accident at Cypress and westbound 70. They're working to clear that area out there. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and Germania is on the move. Eastbound 44 between Antire and Big Bend is in pretty good shape at this hour. Eastbound 40 between Long Road and 270, traffic is moving well. There's heavy traffic reported on eastbound 70 at St. Charles Rock Road. Westbound 270 between Riverview and Washington Elizabeth in North County, traffic is on the move. Westbound 255 between Coke and Lime Ferry Road, no problems to report there. Eastbound 70 between Highway K and 79, there's slow traffic at this time. Westbound 70 at Union, there is an accident, but it is off the roadway. Traffic is slowing down for a look. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road, traffic is slow there. And turning downtown, 5570 at 64, slow traffic approaching the bridge complex. Westbound 64 just before 5570, slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic between the Gravel Pit and Laclede's Landing, slow going at this hour. And Illinois 3 between 8th Street and the Poplar Street Bridge, traffic is beginning to get heavy. This report brought to you by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, tires are an important part of your vehicle's health. Through February, purchase 4 tires from your St. Louis Metro Toyota dealer and you'll get 3 complimentary oil changes. Toyota, moving you forward. WGNU News Time, 7:08. A look at the weather forecast for the WGNU listening area now. Partly sunny, not quite as cool, with a high in the lower 50s. Tonight, not quite as cool, with partly cloudy skies, the low near 40. Then on Wednesday, it's going to be cloudy in the morning, becoming partly sunny by the afternoon, with a high in the lower 50s. Our current temperature reading here at WGNU is 31 degrees. And we have a programming note. This hour, we were supposed to speak with identity theft expert John Cilio. We are going to reschedule that interview for probably next week, as we wish to continue on the breaking news with the death of Coretta King and the police incident that occurred yesterday. So the identity theft interview we had scheduled for this hour will be rescheduled to a later date. Now more of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown right after this.
In times of trouble, how can the message of Christianity come to the rescue? Hear from people who found God's healing power and love through a better understanding of God's law. You'll hear not only about hope restored, but about complete physical restoration as well. That's on the next radio edition of the Christian Science Sentinel.
The Christian Science Sentinel, Sundays at 1 p.m. here on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, young brothers. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, young brothers. Help me, listen.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. And if you want to email me, revolution@lizbrown.com, please don't forget that this show is archived daily at whiterosesociety.org or whiterosesociety.org. So if you missed an hour, go get an hour. Well, first of all, shame on you, but go get your hour at whiterosesociety.org. My website is lizbrown.com. Get up, get to me. I want to, before we get to the phone lines, before we get to your comments and questions, and I know what you want to talk about. There is no question in my mind about what you want to talk about this morning. I want to pass on this sad note. Coretta Scott King has just died. She was 78 years old. She passed in her sleep at her home from complications from her stroke. So say a prayer, moment of silence, a moment of recognition, and a moment for a discussion this month in Black History Month. Coretta Scott King has passed away. My number here is 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. Good morning. You're on the wake-up call.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the wake-up call.
Yes, I'm a second-time caller.
Yes, ma'am.
I called you a couple of years ago about that veteran thing.
Mm-hmm.
You remember?
No, I don't, but go right in.
That Sterling thing that was down at the Vershawn High School about the benefits.
Okay.
Okay, well, this is the second time I'm calling. But however, I know everybody is all up in the air. Emotions are disturbed about the incident that happened yesterday because it was police brutality.
Yes, ma'am.
I saw it on all channels.
Yes, ma'am.
But the thing that amazes me so much is that we seem to have forgotten. You know, all day long yesterday, they showed this about Cop Sloan, the one that was killed. He was a county cop that came to the city.
Uh-huh.
Remember the incident? I hope you remember the incident. They were having his second year memorial thing, and he was supposed to have been a cop killed on duty. But he rushed from the county, came on St. Louis Avenue and Marcus to capture this victim of black suspect, and he supposed to have cuffed him, put him in the car, and the man shot him. That's when he got killed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want people to understand, here's another incident happened right in the city by a county cop. And I thought that was outrageous just to look at something like that all day when all this other stuff had happened with the one out there, with the one that happened yesterday. I'm sorry.
Thank you so much, Dolores.
Okay, and I just want people to understand. I'm trying to refresh their memory about that incident.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you for listening.
454-0400 is my phone number. Andrew.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The incident that happened yesterday is just one of the many incidents of profiling that has been going on.
That's the P word, the profiling words. That's the word that we need to be talking about. You're absolutely right. This is profiling. Go right ahead.
Yeah, it's profiling a certain race of people, though.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what profiling is.
If you are a minority, you are one of those persons.
If you are a person of African descent, if you are a person of color, yes, that's what profiling is about. And one of the things that we also need to be talking about, we need to be talking about what Jay Nixon has done in his reports. You know, once a year, he comes out with a report about whether or not people are profiling, driving while black, what are the statistics of black people being stopped as opposed to white people being stopped in different communities all across this state. We find time after time, year after year after year, the same cities, the same towns are doing the same thing. And you know what Jay Nixon's not doing? He's not punishing those communities for doing it. There are communities that even refuse to give out the statistics, so we don't know when they stop, how many black people that they stop when they don't stop white people. This is profiling plain, and it's the brutal end of a profiling effort is what this is.
It's also another way to bring you down financially by robbing you for your tax money, yeah, and for the money that you have to pay for when you are profiled.
There you go. There you go. Thanks for your call.
Okay.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Ms. Brown. How are you this beautiful day?
I am outstanding.
Yeah, watching that film yesterday. You didn't see what you see. It
that's
sounds
what
like
that's
old history
being,
repeating itself.
That's what we're being told. You didn't
you
see
didn't
what
see,
you
see. But when they film something, the first thing they want is the tape. The tape tells the story when they got the tape in their hand. But when the tape turns on them, you don't see what you see.
That's
seemed
fact.
Like I heard that before.
That's fact. That's
and
fact.
And another thing, we had a black St. Louis police officer got involved with these white boys.
There was a...
He set himself up, and I'm looking at the front page of the paper, you know, and the pictures tell, well, a million words. Who picture they got on the front page? Him. With the suspect.
Yep, he's being
set up, and I don't have sense enough to really know it.
All right, now, thank you, Matt.
And Ms. Brown.
Yes, sir.
And they called his house. And I guess he saying the same thing. They called him for a comment. I wasn't actually involved.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. Carlos, good morning.
My name is Kathy.
All right, Kathy. What's on your mind?
Girl, that thing that happened yesterday, and I'm sorry about Mrs. King. My family was out to Jamaica, and she was on the plane with us. She got a chance to tell my little nephew about how to grow up. But I wanted to talk about that because, Liz, those whole rabbit, they beat that poor child as though he was some dog or another.
Yes, they did.
Now,
yes,
as far as that one black child that called you yesterday, I can't call him a man. If I want to ask him if it was a Caucasian boy that was being beaten like that, would he have the same outrageous comments to make about him? You see? And also, there's a thing about the young man, the man that stood on a crutch down at the Maplewood when they were interviewing those cops, and he said that the Maplewood policeman had beaten him. Well, why is he down here with us trying to get petitions for Reginald Common? Where was he when this happened to Marlon Gray? Because I understand this happened to him some time ago.
Here's what I think, Kathy. I think that once people get it, you need to accept them and bring them on. To second guess that people weren't there is something that we really don't have time for. But I feel your emotion on that. The fact of the matter is that this is not the first case of brutality that the Maplewood Police Department has engaged in.
Right.
It is absolutely not, because this was too easy. This was too simple. This was almost instinctive, instinctive.
And on top of that, the NAC, excuse me for talking about it, but the NAACP comes out. They say something. And, you know, they've said this before. I wonder where were they when Reginald was being buried.
That's the question.
They're going to say this, and they're going to hide behind what they say and do nothing.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Until the men that call themselves African-American men stand up for their own community, nobody else is going to help them.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Carlos, good morning.
I'm calling about the incident, but I'm mainly really calling about the way they reported the incident on the news.
Okay, tell me.
It was like they was biting their tongue not to say what they really seen, that we seen. You know what I'm saying? They were like holding it back. Well, they said they're going to investigate to see whether he was being beaten or whatever. And I'm like, wait a minute. Are we listening to the same TV? Because I know I'm watching this helicopter follow this man all over town. I know I'm watching them get out. I know I'm watching them lay down. I know I'm watching them beat them up. But I guess we're looking at the site. A totally different.
Here, this is the reason why I've always advocated on my show, carry a camera with you. Carry a camera with you. Because for too long, we've had a he said, she said, he said, he said situation. Cameras don't lie. And the reason why this particular footage, this particular film is so good, it's inescapable. There is no defense of anybody kicking somebody while they are on the ground. There's no defense on that. There is absolutely no defense. And for them to cross the city lines, to come up into North St. Louis, to disrespect North St. Louis, to assault North St. Louis, to do damage to property in North St. Louis, and then to brutalize a human being in front of God and everyone in North St. Louis, this is unacceptable. And the circuit attorney, if she's doing her job, she should bring charges against those Maplewood police officers, plain and simple, because they committed a crime, plain and simple.
And you're right. But, you know, when I seen him getting beat, though, all I was looking at was he was getting beat. I wasn't looking at what color he was or nothing like that. And for anybody who was going by the color, I was looking at just the man getting beat, period. I was like, oh, my God.
But I understand.
This boy. But then, of course, you got to see the color, too, though. But I was looking at he just getting beat,
absolutely.
Period.
All right. Thanks for your call. 454-0400. Bob.
Yeah, Liz. How you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding.
Yeah, I'm sorry about the death of Coretta King. And you know, Liz, I was listening to some of the other talk shows yesterday, and the ones that were on the police side were saying, you know, this is a shame. They said, boy, they said.
It's hard. This is a hard one to defend, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a hard one to defend. But
guess
what else they said, though? They said, well, they stopped it. They were trying to stop him because his plates were bad. They said, well, he wanted to worry about having a bad place some more because he's going to have about $2 or $3 million after this is over.
Mm.
This is the guys on the police side.
Mm.
Why was he kicking him? And Liz, the main point that you said is, what did the guy do to deserve all that? Okay,
He didn't do anything.
Plates were bad. You pulled him over. I've been in police work. Police pulled him over, and he wouldn't stop him.
But wait a minute. But no, wait a minute, caller. Here's the thing. There are rules and regulations that you are supposed to follow as a cop. You can't just run somebody's plates. You can't do that. You can't look at somebody and run their plates. Try to call one of your cop friends and ask them to run their plates, run some plates. They can't do that because the rules and the regulations and the procedures say that you can't do that. Why did they run his plates? Because he was shopping while black? Because he was driving while black?
Liz, now you know that's the truth. Now you know you're not supposed to run the plate, but how many officers do that every day?
But then they're breaking procedure. They're breaking procedure.
But who's going to bust them? You know what? When they go to court, the courts are going to side with the officers, and if they're Caucasian, really side with them.
Well,
so, I mean, they're not worried about that. They're not even worried, Liz, about that.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Okay.
All right.
454-0400
is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning. John.
Yes.
Good morning.
I'm sorry.
You're on the air.
Where is the outrage from you and the black community when these babies are stealing cars and running red lights and killing people?
I'll do a comparison for you, John. Why do you run home to your mama? Come on now. If you are going to look at a community and measure their outrage about crime, I submit to you, I will lay down the resume of the community of African descent next to any community in the world. There is nobody that has tied more yellow ribbons around an old oak tree. There is nobody that has pinned up more pictures of babies. There's nobody that has marched with candles in their hands and wax dripping down their hands in protest of, in concern about, in actions on behalf of victims and people that have committed crimes. There is no other community that has been struck by crime like the community of African descent. I want to ask you, where were the candlelight vigils when the Columbine gangbangers committed their crimes? You want to lay a resume down? I will lay mine down next to any community in the world. And that's the old pat, absolutely uninformed crap that you hear from people that don't know what's going on. Black people have been on this from forever. Where black people have been tying yellow ribbons around lynching trees for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning. Good morning. You're on the wake-up call.
All messed up. I want to know, why is it that people care more about animals than black folks? And I'm going to tell you something else.
Remember all the stuff about Susie the monkey? Remember how the outrage about Susie the monkey? And now we have to have a discussion about whether a cop should be able to shoot a human being. But people are really, really upset about what happened to Susie the monkey.
A dog now. And I'm going to tell you something else. White folks will always say, well, when I was coming up, my daddy pulled over for the police officer. And he told me to pull over for him. And that way, if you do what the police officer said, you ain't got to worry about him getting beat down.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Car phone.
Yes, how you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding.
Yes, it's a beautiful day. I just have a couple of comments.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering how come they only listed the black officer's name in the paper and I didn't see the white officer's name in the paper.
You didn't see the cop that was doing the kicking. You didn't see that, did you? And the fact of the matter is, it's not about the crime. It's about who stands accused of the crime.
That's right.
That's why you saw his picture.
Had to make was, is there a law against going across your jurisdiction to chase a car?
Well, no. Actually, if they're saying that they're in hot pursuit, that is a defense. But the question begins, what are you in hot pursuit of? Did you start this chase for no reason at all?
Yeah, I'm supposed to be a serious crime.
If you're in hot pursuit of a serious crime, absolutely. What did this man do? What did this man do? He did nothing.
And you know
what the most suspicious part of this is? Out of all the suspicion that's going on out here, you know what the most suspicious part is? Why they haven't filed their police reports.
Right.
What, your toe is bruised? Is too bruised from the beatdown?
And Mr. White seems to be blind. Mm. He don't have any comments to make in reference to what he saw other than, yes, some kind of force was used. Mm. We all see that.
And they've hired their lawyer. They know they've hired their lawyer. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. Edward, good morning.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
The officer that lost his legs, I mean, think about it. Yeah. If you lose your legs, it looks like you got a butt whooping coming on that. And they did nothing to this man.
Isn't that something?
And
Now, was the person that caused the officer to lose his legs, is he black or white?
The officer was white that lost his leg.
No, the one that hit.
He was white. Okay. He was white also.
So, and what was fascinating to me also was that the tone and the tenor and the temperament of
exactly.
The cop that lost his leg said, "Well, I don't want him to go to jail forever."
Exactly. Now, if she was on the other foot,
shoot him.
Yeah.
Shoot him.
And him.
Shoot him.
And one more thing, Liz. If you can go to any municipality, St. Louis, St. Louis County, and I want the world to hear this. You see more blacks in the courtroom with tickets, you know, different violations, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this is all over the United States.
That's right.
It's a damn shame.
That's right. Thanks for your call.
All right, Liz.
And for our listeners out there, I want to let you know that Coretta Scott King has passed on. She was 78 years old. She died peacefully in her sleep at her home, the same home that she didn't change one single. It was like her home was like a museum to her husband. She didn't change one single thing from what her home looked like when Martin Luther King was alive. Coretta Scott King has passed on. We're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
Welcome to AM 920 WGNU. We have knowledgeable hosts talking about the issues that matter most. Join in on the discussion at 314-454-0400 or toll free at 877-920-WGNU.
Praise the Lord, everyone. This is the Elder Mitchell Thornton of the All Request Sweet Sounds of Music. We bring you the best gospel sounds in St. Louis, as well as the up-to-date church news to help you plan your weekend worship every Saturday morning from 7:30 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on WGNU 920 on your radio dial.
And good morning. WGNU News Time is 7:32. Time for another look at traffic. And traffic this hour is being brought to you by Heat Up St. Louis. And taking a look at traffic for the half hour here now, we find that northbound 270 between Gravois and 44, there was an accident earlier, but that's been cleared up. However, traffic is still jamming as you approach Highway 21. On the east side, I-64 at 177, Highway 177, there's an accident reported involving a semi-tractor trailer. It is up against the median. On eastbound 40 at Clarkson, Olive, there's an accident on the on-ramp there. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and Germania, normal traffic volume. Eastbound 44 between Antire and Big Bend, normal traffic there as well. Eastbound 70 between Highway K and Highway 79, slow traffic there. There's slow traffic reported on eastbound 40 between Woods Mill and Mason Road. Some delays on westbound 270 between 367 and 170 in the North County area. On eastbound 70 between Earth City and Cypress, slow traffic due to an earlier westbound accident. And slow traffic on Highway 40 between Ballas and Lindbergh. Maybe it's cold inside. Help area elderly and disabled beat the winter cold snap with a donation to heatupstlouis.org. Donate today at heatupstlouis.org. WGNU News Time is 7:33. The weather forecast for this Tuesday is calling for partly sunny skies, not quite as cool, with temperatures in the lower 50s. Right now, it's 34 degrees here at WGNU. Back to more of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown in just a moment.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
How much do you know about camouflage? Could you survive camo camp? Find out at the August A. Bush Conservation Area in St. Charles on Thursday, February 9th from 10 to 11 a.m. Learn how animals use camouflage to survive. Please dress for the weather, as part of the program will be outside. For more information, call 636-441-4554. News to you from WGNU.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. 454-0400 is my phone number. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Yes.
Yes. I was in the path of that chase yesterday. And
really?
Say that what the officers did was not wrong, but I'm a black woman, and my question is, what would have happened had he broadsided me or possibly killed me? My question is, would the community leaders have come out to help my family or have done anything? And like I said, I'm not justifying what the officers did, but there's a possibility that I should have been hit. I was right in front when that happened.
What's your name, please?
My name is Donna.
Okay, Donna. Let's just take a look at this. We have to ask the question of why you were ever in danger. You're in danger because a police chase ensued. Why did a police? We have to ask the question. We have to go back to the beginning to understand why your life was in danger.
Mm-hmm.
What did the police? What happened that caused the police to start this chase? We have to ask that question. And from what we've been hearing from these police officers, there is nothing that justifies the origins of this chase.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's nothing that justifies the origin of the chase, you have to go back and ask, well, then why did these cops start this? Why did they do this? And then we have to ask, look at what they did when they look at the danger. Look at the harm that they put you in as a result of them doing this. This man didn't do anything. He was being chased by the police. He didn't do anything. They had the means, they had the option, they had the choice not to start any of this, and they chose to put your life in danger. And Donna, answer to your question about if community leaders would have come out if something had happened to you,
right.
All you have to do is pay attention to what happens in North St. Louis. And I don't know what goes on in South St. Louis. I can only speak for what happens in North St. Louis. When
mm-hmm.
somebody like something, someone gets hurt in a situation like that, people
mm-hmm.
people do come out. People do make statements about how condemning these actions. People do protest that. People do. Black people do that. They do it more than anybody else in the world in terms of protest and speaking about the wrongness of it. You will hear black people criticize their community before you hear anybody in the world criticize their community. Ask how many people on the Hill criticize the mafia. You hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I mean, so know what we do, and then also understand that your life was in danger last night or yesterday because of what those cops, the crime that those cops committed. That man didn't do anything, and they pursued him anyway.
My question was also, if he hadn't done anything, what's wrong with pulling over and explaining that? I guess I feel like everybody who was a participant in the
Let me ask you this. Okay, that's a fair question, Donna. Let me ask you this.
I mean, I got pulled over, and I pull over, and whether I have to explain or say how fast I was going.
Can I ask you, officers aren't always right. Okay,
but
let me ask you this question, because we live in the real world, and our men... And our women should be having this go through their mind. Black men of African descent have a lot more stuff going through their heads when a cop's light goes on than people outside of the African community. Why would you run? Well, I think the evidence of why you run. And in fact, there was a white judge in New York who said that after sitting on a police brutality, he said, "I don't understand why they wouldn't run from the cops, considering what the cops do to them when they catch them." So yeah, I understand why you run. Look at what happened when they did to him when they got him. And
I was upset at all parties involved, because I thought, you know, that moment could have taken me away from my family.
But here's the thing, Donna, and I feel you on that, but people that are parents, people that have been children, all of that, you know that you have to start at the top. Okay, if everybody's sure, there is some responsibility on the part of the person who fled. There is no question about that. But none of this would have happened if the cops hadn't profiled him and started this mess to begin with. None of it would have happened. Thanks for your call.
That's fair, Ms.
All right. Take care of yourself.
Right.
Be safe.
Okay, thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
This was a different perspective. Okay, CNN. Yesterday, they had a topic last night on the news, and it was called Hot Pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
And guess who they chose as an expert? It was a former LAPD cop.
A racist, lawless LAPD cop? Mark Furman?
Yeah. No, it wasn't Mark Furman.
Who was
it? It was a different officer. I just happened to, you know, be flipping through the channels, and this one I called Hot Pursuit, the topic, and then they were showing the situation that has happened here in St. Louis, and I'm glad there's two different angles of that there, because if you know when KTVI took a picture of it, you can see it, you know, at the edge of that building where you see the guy laying on the ground being beat, and then you see the angle when he's running from them and he gets slammed up against the wall from the other angle, and then they start to beat down. That's when he goes down to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's two different angles of that situation. And the other thing, you notice they try to minimize the beatdown by saying, you know when the van pulled away from the tree when they were trying to pin it up against her?
Uh-huh.
And they kept referring to the van as a car.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when the car, when the van veered, backed up and veered to the other direction, you notice, now they keep saying that the van hit the police car. I saw the police car pulled into the path
of the van.
So you can't say that.
Well, wait a minute. Yes, you can.
The guy intentionally put himself in harm's way.
Yes, you can. If you are a person that brutalized people, what do you say to your wife when you just got finished busting her in the head? You say, "Well, I would stop hitting you if you'd keep your face out my fist."
Mm-hmm.
That's the same mentality. Keep your face out my fist,
and we
wouldn't be here.
And how was Chet get him off Cleveland retained so quickly?
Because they knew how bad they messed up.
I got a roll.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
You know, and about this whole thing, you know, one to two comments. One, you know, it was interesting watching the Channel 2 news last night, and the anchor person who was doing the story said, you know, he was getting perspectives from two different parts of the community, as they call it. And he said it's like people are seeing two different videos. Mm-hmm. That's one comment, you know, how, you know, white people view things, you know, white people view police officers in a very myopic view, that everything that they do and they're justified because they're police officers and they have to do a dirty job, so they're justified in whatever they have to do.
Except when it happens to their own.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it's interesting that everybody always talks about the amount of training they go through and how professional police officers are and how it's supposed to be. Why is it that when, in the midst of chaos, these individuals who are supposed to be trained so well, who are supposed to be our utmost professionality in the job that they do,
it's okay for them to break down and be chaotic as well.
I'm not allowed to use my hormones as a defense. They shouldn't be allowed to use theirs either.
Exactly.
Okay.
You know,
plus, they've had tens of millions of billions of dollars to train themselves on the dealing with their hormones. I haven't had that.
And you know, and this whole thing, like the individuals who called in and said, you know, I haven't had an incident where I had to go to court at Bell Fountain. And the whole courtroom was filled with black people. And I'm attempting to, you know, this judge, I guess he thought he was on television. He's denigrating every black person that comes before him. You can't even get a word out to explain. And he's basically calling them out their names in front of the court. And, you know, the black folks in court thought it was funny. But it was like, you know, at that point, you just realize what's really going on at that point.
Thanks for your
call.
And
how people can't do anything.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Anne.
Yes. Please, I have a comment to make with Donna. To me, it didn't make a difference what the guy did. Regardless, procedure is once the threat is removed, the guy is no longer a threat.
Mm-hmm.
When they got him on the ground, all they had to do was handcuff him and take him away. Everybody's trying to justify the reason why them trying to do what they did. It does not matter what he did. They removed the threat. There was no reason for the rest of the beating to continue.
And you know what? And I think it's a great comparison that a couple of callers have made today. When the cop lost his legs with the drunk driver, and the cop should have been really, really, really mad, right? They were able to handle their behavior and handle their feelings. They didn't hurt that guy, did they?
No, because it was a soft tone to it. They used a little soft tone to
That's
it.
Right.
And I'll give you another example. The two white kids that were killed out there in Jefferson County by the cop who shot and said that they were rolling back the automobile. Same difference.
Thanks for your call.
Okay.
We're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. Wake up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Stay with me.
I've got something within me. Oh, 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 yes. Something within me. The Lord within me.
A very effective means of communication. Right now, thousands of people are hearing this message. Those same people could be hearing your message on WGNU right now. And each person who hears your ad is a potential customer. Is your business really strong enough that it can afford to pass up that many potential clients? To find out how affordable advertising on WGNU can help your business, call sales manager Brian Kay during regular business hours at 314-454-6660.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and get a new attitude.
We, the believers at El Mukminun Islamic Center, would like to invite and encourage you to join us for our Saturday morning program, Focus on El Islam, 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m., featuring the son of Elijah Muhammad, Imam W.D. Muhammad, his public addresses and lectures on Islam and values of social well-being to the community of humanity. Let's focus on El Islam every Saturday morning from 8 to 8:30 a.m. on WGNU Radio.
Real life on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Hello, morning. Missed you last night.
How are you? We have a lot of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. You need to get up. You need to get to me. 1-877-920-WGNU. We're talking about an act of police brutality on the streets of St. Louis. Cops getting their beat down on. Cops crossing city lines, chasing people across city lines, and getting their beat down on. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Judy, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. I just like to know, what was he accused of doing?
That's the question. And
they talking about all of this other stuff, the beat down, the chase, and how he almost ran into a school bus and all of this. What was he accused of doing?
Being black in Maplewood. That's the crime.
That's it.
That's the crime.
That's it.
Because
they've never said on none of the news stations, what was he exactly accused of doing?
We've had backtracking now.
A suspicious car.
Then it came down to he had plates didn't match his car. So then you get out of the car and you talk to him, or you don't run the plates at all because he hasn't done anything wrong. This is a case of police profiling, police brutality. Crimes have been committed, and these men should be charged with crimes.
And then on top of that, it was one black cop in the beating from St. Louis.
That's fact. Thanks for your call,
okay,
Judy.
Okay, thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. Car phone.
Hey, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I've had a chance to watch that tape, and they don't always show you the end of it, but I did see it begin and end maybe about three times, and unless my eyes are deceiving me, the one officer that was kind of leading with the punching to the head and all, I think he glanced up and saw the helicopter in the camera.
He did.
And then that's when the guy standing up was going to get another kick or chin or something, and he put his hand out to stop him.
Uh-huh.
You know, did you notice how fast it all quit?
Yes, As soon as they saw the camera, they thought, this is probably not going to be on the great police chases like we thought it was going to be.
Exactly.
We got busted.
Yep.
Well, busted on. What do they call that? The world's dumbest criminals.
Well, yeah, I think so. So I think the cameras. I've always thought that cameras out in the community are a great idea. Of course, the police don't like them because they just want to brutalize people. And if four big guys like that can't subdue, I don't care how big the guy is, if they can't subdue him, four people, without punching him, without beating him with nightsticks, without kicking him, those guys are wusses.
They need to be fired and charged with a crime. That's what they need to be done. That's exactly what needs to be done. Thank you so much.
Yep. Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. Car phone, Mike.
How you doing, young lady?
I'm out.
Now, we also know that hitting somebody to the head will knock them clean out. One blow, knocked out, right? Thousand blows and you still don't knock a person out, you're not too tough, are you? Secondly, people can talk about police brutality all they want to, but the bottom line is, why is it always black guys? Have a good day.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. Orlando, good morning. Good morning. Bridget, good morning. Bridget, good morning. Roz, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I had the opportunity to see the videotape of the police brutality on the young man of African descent. And, you know, Liz, about 4 years ago, me and my guy friend was traveling through Maplewood. We were profiled driving while black, and they pulled us over, plate straight on the car, driver's license, the whole nine, but they still locked him up. They locked him up for about an hour and took him somewhere and made him walk home. Meanwhile, me and my four-year-old child sitting in the car waiting to see what was going to happen, waiting to see if they were going to let him go or whatever. We got out the car and caught the bus. That was right there by the church's chicken right out there. And, Maplewood police officers, I think they all need to go back to training, but behind this yesterday,
they
need to go back to training.
There's no amount of training, Roz, that is going to train somebody out of this racist brutality. There, you can't train people out of this. You kick them off the force. You charge them with the crime. You put them in jail.
But
that's what you do. You punish people like
and
this.
And listen to
you
this,
can't train
did
them.
Did you see the one officer that walked around the side of the boy's foot and just started stomping his foot?
Yes.
Trying to keep him from running. He was already down.
Already down.
Already down. What was the point of stomping his foot?
Thanks for your call, Rob.
All right.
454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU. CJ.
Yes, I'm white, and when I see a tape like this, I think how depressing. In the year 2006, racism is so alive and well.
Healthy, isn't it?
Yes, and that's how I feel about it. And I don't think that they should do these car chases at all.
I agree with you,
I am totally
CJ.
Against them.
You're absolutely
there
right.
There is nothing, a car or anything is not worth what could happen. I don't believe in them. Thank you.
Thank you so much, CJ. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get to me. Steve on a car phone. Or Steve.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes.
If we have a law now that says we're not going to do any car chases for any reason, then what's to keep people from just fleeing the police whenever they don't want to be pulled over for whatever reason? Liz, I have a lot of respect for you, but I really have I lost a little bit of my respect for you this morning, just a tad, and maybe you can help me with this, but I am not in any way, shape, or form justifying what those police officers did. It was totally wrong.
Why is it going to be a but?
I totally lost it.
But
there's always a but, and the but is what you're looking right over. You're glazing over is the fact that this guy ran in the first place.
And here's
and that
thing.
Woman who called and said my life was put at risk by a guy who ran.
Okay.
Not that he
who
ran
started?
And he
who
put
started
my
it?
Life in jeopardy. You made very little of that. That
and
was a woman's life, but she's an African woman too.
Hold on for a second. I made no little thing about anybody's life, Steve. What I said was, who started the fight? Wait a minute, Steve. Let me. You've had your chance to speak. I'm going to have my chance to speak now. The fact of the matter is that we have two people here or three people here that are trained, supposedly trained professionals. They're cops, right? Supposedly trained professionals. They have an option to make a decision here. We can pursue this. Or we can do this with it another way. What did the chief of police here say in the city of St. Louis? We wouldn't have done that. We have different rules about chases. We don't do them because, especially for something like this. So the cops had an option here. They had an option of engaging in their behavior or not engaging in their behavior because they're supposed to serve and protect. They are supposed to be looking out for the welfare of all of us. They are supposed to be measuring things and seeing what is best for the entire situation and the entire community as opposed to what's best for what they are feeling at that moment. They made the decision to pursue this person. He made a decision to run from them, and I think rightly so, given the fact of what they did to him when they got him. What's to say that they wouldn't have done that or they haven't done that? And I submit to you that they have done that, that they have beaten people for not running from them. So the question becomes, who do we put the responsibility on? I put the responsibility on the people who are paid by my money and trained by my money to evaluate the situation and act accordingly to serve and protect. Period. Dot.
The guy still fled. That's my. I rest my case on that.
Okay. Good deal. Good deal. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake up call. Good morning.
Hey there, good morning, lady from the east side. Well, Liz, I wholeheartedly agree with you. There's no doubt about it. There's nothing on this green earth that can justify the fact how they slammed that man. China 5 had a better angle view. They slammed him against the wall. Then they slammed him on the ground. And yes, they were beating, punching, kicking, jabbing, bopped him all over the head with a nightstick. Who in their right mind is going to lay still while someone is insulting them?
And how do we know that this guy didn't know these cops? How do we know that this guy hadn't seen these cops engaging in lawless behavior before? How do we don't know any of those things. The cops have a job to serve and protect. They chose to chase somebody down, to put everybody's life in danger over what? He had bad, if we believe their story, he had bad play.
Because he simply led them on in the chase. And, I mean, did you see how he hurled his nightstick into the man's back?
Yep.
And then once they had him on the ground, the one younger white officer that was by his head that was mauling him and just constantly beating him in his face had his knee and proceeded to hit him in his upper spinal column. You know, that could have caused him to be paralyzed. Then the African-American cop from North St. Louis. Yes, he joined the boys. He felt, I meant the look that was on his face when he joined
and
he
I got
started
a roll.
Kicking him on the side.
Got a roll. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Caller wants to know if it goes to trial, will it be city jurisdiction or will it be county jurisdiction? I believe it'll be city jurisdiction because the crime occurred here in the city of St. Louis. The action occurred here in the city of St. Louis. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Earlene.
Hey, Liz.
Good morning.
Well, the guy was calling in about, you know, they always want to say, well, why did they run? Why didn't they just stop? The picture that came in my mind was the scene in Forrest Gump when he ran from bullies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that man, if he had a son or a daughter who was harassed by bullies or who knew that bullies came in certain shapes or sizes or wore certain uniforms or were usually in certain places, he would tell them, you know, run home to me. So it's easy to say, well, why didn't he just stop? But it's interesting the spin that's already being put on this. I just heard something where the police, someone was saying with the police chief in Maplewood says, if the officers' lives are in danger, they can use excessive force. How can your life be in danger when you're behind someone chasing them? So it's going to be interesting the spin that's going to be put on this. And this is another Rodney King. Why now they're dredging up, oh, well, this guy had a record of assault or warrants. That's after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
If the plates didn't match the car, they may not have even known who he was, so they can't
use
them.
They didn't know who
but
he was.
Watch the spin that's going to be put on this. It would be interesting if Channel 2 had said, you know what, we'd like to have this exclusive story, but let's don't show this. Let's wait until these cops come to the court.
And then show it. All right.
Gotcha.
All right. My name is Liz Brown. Wake up call. I'll be back after the news.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Passion for breaking down the walls of discrimination in this nation.
Coretta Scott King suffered a stroke and a heart attack last year. She was 78 years old. A shooting at a postal facility in Goleta, California has ended with 7 people dead. More from ABC's Alex Stone.
Workers at the plant say they heard popping noises. About 50 people were able to run out of the building. Police say the ex-postal worker killed 6, apparently, before they were able to get away. And then she turned the gun on herself. Charles Kronick works at the plant.
Our boss came running over and said, get out of the building. So I stopped the mule. We all just hightailed it out.
Across the street from the sorting center, there's a fire station. That's where many of the evacuees ran when the shooting began. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Who's in the running for an Oscar? The Academy Award nominations are out, and we're live with ABC's Dave Alpert in Hollywood.
Daria Brokeback Mountain leads the Oscar nominations with 8 in all, including Best Picture. The cowboy love story goes up against Crash, Capote, Good Night and Good Luck, and Munich. And Daria, for the first time in 25 years, the movies nominated for Best Picture and Best Director are exactly the same. Daria?
ABC's Dave Alpert in Hollywood with the very latest on the Oscar nominations. By the way, the Oscars will be handed out on March 5th. The Senate votes on Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito this morning. He is expected to be confirmed, but the vote is not expected to be unanimous. Over a dozen Democrats say they will give Alito the thumbs down. This is ABC News.
Have you ever thought you'd like to buy and sell houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready for a real home-based business that can get you out of the rat race and into financial freedom? Hi, this is Dolph DeRoos. I have engineered a proven system to real estate buying that will show you how to buy money-generating properties so you'll never have to work again. I'll send you a free tape that explains how easy it is. Call 1-800-300-0464. 1-800-300-0464. 1-800-300-0464.
Get out of debt and get on with your life. Agencies offering Care One credit counseling services can help. If you have $4, $6, $10,000 in credit card bills, find out how quickly your debt can be paid off. Callers save an average of 30% in payments every month. So gather your bills and call now for a personal debt analysis. Licensing details available. That's Care One Credit Counseling Services. 1-800-695-9092. That's 1-800-695-9092.
The White House says President Bush will cover a lot of ground in his State of the Union address, from the war on terror to the high price of energy and health care. A little advice from Mr. Bush from Ken Duberstein, Chief of Staff for former President Reagan. Get to the good stuff early on.
Listen to the first 10 or 15 minutes, because the president's major themes, major agenda items, major tone is going to be established in those first 10 or 15 minutes.
Virginia Governor Tim Kaine will give the Democrats' response. L.A. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa will give the response in Spanish. When Alan Greenspan talks, people listen. Lots of them, especially today. ABC's Bill Greenwood.
He's chaired the nation's central bank for 18 years, since his initial appointment by President Ronald Reagan. And he's been credited for keeping the economy on track through wars, stock market crashes, and terrorist attacks. In retirement, if you can call it that, 79-year-old Alan Greenspan will write books, make speeches, and run a new economic consulting company.
I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
St. Louis, this is Patrick Ryansmeyer with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, as the investigation and the discussion continue after what some call police brutality by Maplewood officers, St. Louis Police Chief Joe Mokwa is reserving judgment. Television footage showed officers kicking and striking 33-year-old Edmund Burns yesterday after a chase that ended in the city of St. Louis. Mokwa says he will wait to get a full report before making a judgment on the circumstances. Missouri Congressman Russ Carnahan is once again calling on his colleagues to vote down legislation he says includes more than $12 billion in cuts to education.
A big vote is coming up on February the 1st, really a showdown on these proposed cuts to the student loan program. They're the largest cuts in the history of the student loan program.
Carnahan says the legislation will raise the interest rate cap on student loans, increase fees, and add some $6,000 to the more than $17,000 students already pay in loans. Both the House and Senate have passed versions of the legislation, but changes in the Senate bill are requiring the House to vote again. Finally this hour, the Blues rallied from a two-goal deficit and went on to beat the Flames 3-2 in a shootout last night at the Savas Center. Lee Stempniak netted the game-tying goal in the second period, then scored in the fifth round of the shootout to give the Blues the victory. Jay McClement also lit the lamp, while Curtis Sanford made 29 saves to help the Blues earn just their second win in their last 13 games. They will be in Detroit for a date with the Red Wings tomorrow night. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. New, the Illinois Lottery's Ticket for the Cure. 100% of proceeds support the fight against breast cancer. Play Ticket for the Cure today, because when you play, everybody wins. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
WGNU News Time, now 8:06, and taking a look at traffic with this hour's traffic report. This hour's traffic report is being brought to you by Toyota. And on westbound 270 at Graham Hanley, there's an accident on the right shoulder. Southbound 270 between 70 and Page, traffic is slow due to an earlier accident. There's an accident reported on westbound 70 between 270 and the Earth City Expressway. The three left lanes are closed. Traffic is jamming up as you approach St. Charles Rock Road. There's also an accident reported on eastbound 270 between Lindbergh and 170. It's off of the roadway. Northbound 55 between 270 and Virginia is normal at this hour. Eastbound 44 between Highway 141 and 270, traffic is on the go. Traffic is moving at the speed limit on westbound 255 between the JB Bridge and Lee May Ferry. excuse me, turning to the downtown area, we have westbound 5570 between 64 and the Poplar Street Bridge is still slow and heavy. Westbound 64 at 5570, slow and heavy. And the King Bridge traffic is slow with some slight delays. This report brought to you by Toyota, and we want to remind you that Toyota owners have to remember that tires are an important part of your vehicle, and if you remind yourself through February, you can purchase four tires from your St. Louis Metro Toyota dealer, and you'll get three complimentary oil changes. That's Toyota moving you forward. WGNU News Time is now 8:08, the weather forecast for the WGNU listening area. Partly sunny and not quite so cool today with a high in the lower 50s. For tonight, partly cloudy and the low should be around 40. Wednesday, cloudy skies in the morning, then mostly sunny skies by tomorrow afternoon, high in the lower 50s. Our current temperature reading here at WGNU is 38 degrees. WGNU News Time 8:08. We'll be getting back to more of the wake-up call with Liz Brown. This hour, we have a special guest for you. It'll be General Evelyn Foote, and we'll be getting her thoughts on the war in Iraq, the domestic spying issues, CIA prisons, and what we may be hearing tonight on the President's State of the Union address. That's coming up this hour on the wake-up call here on WGNU, so stay with us for that.
You're tuning in to Roster Resolutions, the number one reggae program in America. King Silos, Roster Resolutions comes your way every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Also on the net, that's www.wgnu.net, Roster Resolutions.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. We have so much stuff to talk about. Our number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to toll free long distance me, 1-877-920-WGNU. You want to email me, revolution@lizbrown.com. And don't forget that our shows are archived daily. Archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. That's whiterosesociety.org. Check out the website at lizbrown.com. Liz Brown, that's LIZZBrown.com. This morning we have been spending our hours, two of our hours, talking about an act of a local issue. With national ramifications, of course. Police brutality. Crimes against citizens. And people are expressing their outrage and their concern and their fears and their disgust about these acts engaged in by armed people against unarmed people. People that haven't even been charged with the crime. They haven't even been accused of a crime. Just the suspicion, perhaps, of a crime. And I say perhaps the suspicion of a crime. And some people, some of you have asked, how could this happen here in this country? Why does this happen in America? How could it happen here? And I have to say that the people that are asking the question of how, the people that are denying that something like this can happen in America, all they have to do is go to open their eyes and revisit the crimes that took place at Abu Ghraib. There are things that are that brutality that people engage in all kinds of ways, and I want to talk about the consequences of allowing this type of behavior to go unchecked. What do we become as a people? What do we become as a nation when we allow, when we defend, when we accept brutality from anybody? We need to talk about this. Our guest this morning is retired Brigadier General Evelyn Foote. She is the president of the Alliance for National Defense. She is talking to us from her home in Maryland, right outside of Washington, D.C. General, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, Liz.
Very good. It's wonderful to talk to you again.
You too. It's been a period of several years, I believe.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has. I'm looking at this article, General, about that came out on Monday, yesterday, I guess, that a former commander of the Abu Ghraib prison testified that Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez gave orders to cover up the death for some female American soldiers serving in Iraq. Colonel Janice Karpinski told a panel of judges at the Commission of Inquiry for Crimes Against Humanity that several women had died of dehydration because they had refused to drink liquids late in the day. Why? Because they were afraid of being assaulted or even raped by some male soldiers if they had to use the women's latrine after dark. And my question to you, General Foote, is that the Bush administration has it seems like the crimes that were committed in Abu Ghraib have fallen off of the radar of this administration or have been dismissed by this administration. How is the reputation of a country, coming from a military perspective, how is the reputation of a country defined? What is the weight that is put on the reputation of a country that turns its head from or even condones these types of actions happening to prisoners in Iraq?
Well, Liz, I think the mere fact that this happened, that it was revealed not by our government itself, but came through photographs that some of the troops themselves had taken, and that we did not come up front and say that here is something that is heinous that's going on in a prison and we're going to straighten it out, is an indication to me that we had a major problem beyond the scope of belief of any of us at the time. The actions at Abu Ghraib should never go undercover and unattended. For one thing, the very act that we were guilty of, many of the various forms of egregious behavior that we accuse other nations of being guilty of, puts us in the category with them. We no longer are looked at as the country that is the absolute paragon of virtue when it comes to championing human rights and the rights of the individual. We were perpetrating some crimes ourselves in the name of military expediency, I would assume, but with the advice from the highest levels of government coming out of the White House legal office, going through DOD, through the command, that it was okay to suspend portions of the Geneva Convention and get the information any way you can. So I think it's an outrage what happened there. And our position in the world as a nation of democracy and equal rights and human rights has fallen so low that we will be decades recovering from what happened.
What are some of the measurables of a reputation like this?
Well, the measurables are we are known by our actions, and for many, many years, America was looked at as the nation that stood up for the little guy in the world and championed their human rights. And then we come along to what happened at Abu Ghraib and see that we were perpetrating atrocities ourselves. The troops who have been incarcerated, the lower-ranking individuals who were part of the actual action are the tip of the iceberg, so far as I'm concerned, as to who should be held responsible.
Are you troubled by the fact that it didn't go up the line at all?
I know that there have been investigations. There have been a series of investigations. Whether they are all over, I do not know. But I know so far none of the senior individuals involved who were within the direct chain of authority for what happened there have been held liable except for Colonel Karpinski. And her punishment, given the scope of the crime, seemed to be rather light, although reduction in rank from general to colonel is a serious loss of income.
It's a big deal.
And still, she's not in jail.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that the fact that she is female factored into this in their decision?
I hope not. I hope that the decisions were made based upon her role as commander of the brigade and what happened during her watch.
But no male seniors have gone through what she's gone through.
Not yet. And I don't know if they will, but there are other commanders culpable, to include the Military Intelligence Brigade commander at Abu Ghraib and the battalion commander, the MI battalion commander, who should have had direct oversight every minute of the night and day in that prison of what his soldiers were doing in the name of the command. I'm outraged by what happened. I am one of a wonderful group of senior officers, admirals and generals, who strongly supported Senator McCain in a letter when he proposed that the armed forces and all of our agencies, civilian and military, be required to go by the book of regulations already established in how we treat prisoners. In other words, to accord them the privileges of the Geneva Convention. So I am very proud to have been part of that. I will continue.
Were you amazed that you had to sign your name on a letter asking for something as basic as that from the President of the United States?
I was very concerned because there is so much mud in the water as to what constitutes his executive power. I see no reason in the world why we should ever have to resort to punishments of the type that we know were perpetrated against some of the prisoners. I see no reason for that. It's inhumane treatment. And that is not what we are known for. It has set us back in this world. It has not gotten us any more information from these individuals than we would have gotten by using practices that are established.
General, what would you like to hear George W. Bush talk about in his State of the Union address tonight? What are some of the issues that you believe that have gone unaddressed?
There are so many issues
that
have gone unaddressed, actually. I would like to hear him once and for all discuss what is the administration's policy for winding down our involvement in Iraq. When are we going to be able to begin withdrawing troops from that country? We now are in, what, the third year?
Yes.
Of a war where victory was declared back in May 2003. At a time we had fewer than 1,000 casualties, we are now up to going on 2,300 Americans, service members dead in this war. And the beat goes on because the administration, when it went into this war, had absolutely no plan for ending it. And that, to me, is just a major deficiency. So I'd like to hear him talk about that. I would like to hear him talk about realistic, real-time medical care for all Americans. We're into 40 or more million Americans have no health coverage at all. They can't afford it. And what is our government doing to ensure that? I would like to hear that the so-called initiative for No Child Left Behind is fully funded so that educational reforms that are needed actually take place. He will not, I believe, be talking about his Medicare proposals, which the people themselves have turned a deaf ear to.
And seniors are in harm's way.
And seniors are very much in harm's way. I don't think he will, maybe he will mention the debacle of the new Medicare prescription program, where so many of our most needy at the time this went into effect couldn't even get their own prescriptions. So states are having to bail the government out at this point for their own people. I would be surprised if we hear much about that. I think we'll hear a lot of praise that the administration heaps upon itself for a so-called robust economy. But I would ask the president, please show me where middle-class America is right now. No savings, no, really not getting ahead, finding it more and more difficult for a one income family to pay the bill, relying on two people if you have both parents there. I would like to know, what are we doing about the major organizations such as Ford, who are laying off 30,000 employees over the next few years as it restructures? Where are the jobs for these people? Because they were well paid. And I don't see that happening. I see a great surge of service industry jobs, but where are the middle class and middle manager jobs coming from? So I'd be very interested to hear what he would have to say
We have a running poll on my show. People are calling in and laying their bets down for how many times George W. Bush is going to use the word terrorism, how many times he's going to use the word 9/11, and how many times. So we have these bets going down.
Terrorism will definitely be one of his top subjects because as President of the United States and Commander-in-Chief, he is responsible for taking those actions nationally and through the states that safeguard American people. So I am sure we will hear a lot of the word terror and security, national security.
But the concern of people when they hear him use the words terror, it feels more, and it has been more, of a weapon to get us to comply as a nation to some of these policies as a real indicator of the situation that we find ourselves in.
I agree. You know, right now, we're all interested in greatly enhancing the security of America at its borders, at its ports, in how we do business with the rest of the world. But I don't think the average American goes around every day feeling scared to death that a bomb's going to go off in a minute. We are all, I think, very much aware of the need to greatly improve our security, and especially the security at our borders. But trying to terrorize American people into a way of action that is not necessarily rational isn't wise governance in my view. I think what President Bush and his administration should be spending tremendous amounts of time on now is looking at America's position in the 21st century and how has our role in this century changed. We are not the only power in a global sense that can wreak havoc on other parts of the world. How are we going to interact? How are we going to train the armed forces to deal with the types of war of this century? Until recently, we have been sending our soldiers into Iraq with no real training in counterinsurgency and in humanitarian and peacekeeping efforts because the military, frankly, has resisted spending too much of its capital on what it calls missions other than war.
And we have
this
war. We have to take a break. I'm talking to retired Brigadier General Evelyn Foote. She's the president of the Alliance for National Defense, and she's talking to us from her home in Maryland, right outside of Washington, D.C. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with us.
This is a message to all those who've been trying to reach the top of the hill on that land.
From 2 to 4 every Monday through Friday afternoon on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. And stay tuned for today's solutions with David Lenihan from 4 to 6.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler not only for school, but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
And it's 8:31 at WGNU. Time for a look at traffic. Traffic this hour being brought to you by Robert Half Incorporated. Westbound 70 between 270 and the Earth City Expressway. The accident out there has been cleared and all lanes have reopened. The traffic jams are still approaching Lindbergh, however. Eastbound 270 between Highway 67 and 170. There's an accident reported and traffic is jamming up at McDonald Boulevard. On Highway 40 at the Poplar Street Bridge, there is an incident there. They're working to clear that. Northbound 55 between 270 and Virginia, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 44 between Highway 141 and 270, traffic is in pretty good shape. Eastbound 70 between Highway 79 and the Mid Rivers Mall Drive, traffic is starting to thin out there now. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and Hanley Road, heavy traffic in pockets. There's slow traffic reported between Brentwood Boulevard and Hanley Road on Highway 40. On Highway 40 between McCausland and Hanley, traffic is slow. Heavy traffic beyond 270 westbound between Old Halls Ferry and New Florissant. Heavy traffic on eastbound 70 at McKelvey Road. And turning downtown at the bridge complex on 5570 between 4th Street and the Poplar Street Bridge, traffic is starting to thin out. Traffic is also thinning out on 64 at 5570. And on the King Bridge traffic, there are still some delays reported between the Gravel Pit and Laclede's Landing. This report brought to you by Account Temps, the new world's leader in specialized financial staffing. When you need temporary accounting or financial help, call Account Temps. The WGNU forecast for this Tuesday is calling for it to be partly sunny, not quite as cool, with a high this afternoon in the lower 50s. It's 37 degrees here at WGNU, and we'll be back to more of the wake-up call with Liz Brown in just a moment.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. Our guest this morning is General Foote. She is joining us from Maryland, right outside of Washington, D.C. General, welcome back.
Oh, thank you, Liz.
On the way out, you were talking about military strength. And it's my understanding that there is soon to be a report coming out of from Donald Rumsfeld about the Pentagon and its budget and what they're asking money for. And I believe this is going to be the first report of this type while we are, quote unquote, at war. And although the report has not been finalized, there are draft copies all over Capitol Hill. And what the report is, what the draft copies are is indicating is that there will not be a request for an increase in strength of the military. I want to talk to you about your understanding of what the strength of the military is. Do we have the strength to start this war in Iraq, or in Iran? Do we have the strength to continue the war that we're engaged in Iran right now?
Well, I'll tell you, when you talk about the strength of the military at the time the war began and the force that went in on the ground, In my estimation, the force was entirely too small. Now, winning the battle, so to speak, the actual combat operation, was to me the easiest part of the war in Iraq because we have tremendous technological superiority and weaponry over the forces in Iraq. But we had nowhere near the strength on the ground or in reserve to attain the peace once the war ended. And we know what happened. And we've seen the results of the tremendous disruption of public services, the increasing insurgency. The insurgency is not going away. And the fact that I know that our troops, who I think are the best soldiers who have ever existed in this world, are doing a fantastic job under incredibly difficult circumstances, but they are stretched very, very thin.
But they're also untrained for the job that they're in, largely untrained as well.
You know, I look at many of the veterans who have come back who have made it a point that they provide their lessons learned to anyone they know who is going over. But it is only recently that the administration has said that it will begin in basic training to teach our recruits about insurgency and counterinsurgency, terrorism, peacekeeping, humanitarian efforts to the extent that they should have been taught for years. Because this, indeed, is the principal warfare of this century. I cannot, with the possibilities of war with any number of countries, God forbid, whether it be Iran or whether it be North Korea, and looking down the tunnel of time at China, large standing armies probably would be needed. But in this century, most of our time and our effort is going to be directed at quelling disturbances in states that are, if they're not failed states, they're almost failed states, in trying to stabilize a destabilized nation in humanitarian relief. Our work is going to be more in these arena than it's going to be in force on force. So consequently, we need very well trained, totally equipped, not half equipped, partially equipped, totally equipped soldiers with the weaponry, the vehicles, the training to go into so dangerous environment as that we find in the Middle East.
Should we have gone into this war?
Well, my position back in 2003 was no, that we were on the way to crushing the Taliban in Afghanistan. We were hot pursuing Osama bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, the one who gave us the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and the crash of Flight 93. We were after the one responsible for all of that. And out of the blue, we change our direction, take most of the forces that we needed in Afghanistan, and put them into a reserve in Kuwait and prepare to invade Iraq to get hold of the weapons of mass destruction, which have never been found. No. And even if we had gone in, had Saddam Hussein continued to resist the inspections to find any nuclear weapons, which have not been found, then it should have been a UN coalition that went in, not America alone, with a handful of allies providing a small number of troops. Yeah.
How many? You're a retired brigadier general. How many wars did you see?
Well, I grew up through the war, the World War II and the pre-World War II years, and I was in Vietnam. I served in Vietnam. My first taste of what an insurgency is, a civil war is.
How different is the execution of this war from the wars that you've served in, the war that you served in?
The war that I served in, our forces, the forces were formidable, but they were facing an army, the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese, who had been at war for over 30 years in a jungle environment against an array of previous enemies from Japan to France, and they were ill-clad, ill-equipped people who had a tremendous genius for improvisation. And when I look at the damage being caused to our force today by insurgents who are exceedingly skillful in creating the bomb.
I don't think that most Americans really appreciate how you have to give them their due. The what they do with these roadside bombs, where they put them, how they put them, the manner in which they're doing. They don't even have an air force. They don't have a navy.
They have nothing.
They have nothing.
People who are deeply devoted to their cause. They have people who are outraged at what they perceive to be our intrusion into the Middle East when it was not warranted, and by that the invasion of Iraq. And these are people who are motivated to get us out of there. Well, one thing I will say, Liz, we are there now. There is an elected government, no matter how sputtering it may be on occasion. And we cannot just pull out of there and leave them until some infrastructure is in place. That is, the Iraqi army, the Iraqi police force.
What if it takes 10 years? What if it takes 7 years? So what if it takes, shouldn't there be a deadline, a timeline?
Well, that's what I believe. I definitely think there should be a timeline.
And how would you do that? What would you base that on?
I think you would have to base it on who do we bring in to reestablish the infrastructure they need? Can we get other nations to come in with us in this pursuit? I think we can.
Well, Britain just announced they had their 100th death. It looks like other nations are getting tired of this and are pulling out.
They are, because there is no strategic plan in place that shows them the roadmap of what we're proposing to do. So I think,
let me ask you this, because what if there is no plan? What if no one ever comes up with a plan? An administration doesn't give us a plan. This administration and then the next administration doesn't give us a plan. Should we pull out? I mean, shouldn't there be a couple of options of when we pull out?
Well, there should be. And the point is, right now, we need the right people making that plan, to include the administration and both houses of Congress and both sides of the aisle in this Senate, working together for a strategic withdrawal of forces over a given period of time.
General Foote, that hasn't happened. There hasn't been a single issue that has happened on.
I know, but I can dream, can't I?
But it's not. But given what we know about what he does,
well,
that's not happening.
Whoever comes in, the administration that inherits the considerable mess that we have internationally, had better be so astute in assessing the nature of the problems that face it that it moves forward with the right actions. One thing I didn't bring up about the State of the Union address, I want the president to tell me when and how he is going to balance the budget.
And we have to hold that thought because we have to take a break. I'm talking to retired Brigadier General Evelyn Foote, president of the Alliance for National Defense. She's talking to us from her home in Maryland, right outside of Washington, D.C. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake-Up Call. Stay with us.
Turn on your television. I'm watching Martin Luther King, who had a dream. Oh, so take this dream and apply it to your life. Even though we know the ghetto's rough, but we got to.
Hello,
is this Dr. Walker?
No, Dr. Walker is not on the air right now. Can I help you with something?
No, I need to talk to Dr. Walker. I have some medical questions that I'd like to have her answer. When can I talk to Dr. Walker?
Dr. Walker will be live on the air every Thursday from noon till 1 p.m. Call 314-454-0400 to talk to Dr. Walker.
It's been a strange winter. Warm one week and cold the next. All that stress is hard on your roof. Better call Phil Person Roofing at 361-7127 and get it checked ahead of the spring rains. You can get a 15-year warranty on the new modified rubber roof made by GAF, the largest roofing manufacturer in America. Finance that new roof, commercial or residential, with your Visa or MasterCard. Always free estimates. Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127.
Tune in Friday evenings from 8 to 10 to The Ken Dyson Show, where I take a unique look at individuals, places, and things. And you have a front row seat. The more you listen, the more you know. The more you know. The more you know. Right here on WGNU Radio Free, 920 AM.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I have joining me this hour a retired Brigadier General Evelyn Foote. She's the president of the Alliance for National Defense. She's talking to us from outside of Washington, D.C. General, welcome back.
Thank you, Liz.
And you were saying on the way out, well, if you don't mind, can I switch the subject just quickly, please?
Sure.
We have a few more minutes left here, and I do want to get your thoughts on the current campaign that this administration is engaging in, the campaign to go across this country and convince Americans that domestic spying without warrants is good for you. What is your take on that?
I think that is totally out of bounds, totally out of bounds. The administration already has access to I believe it's a secret panel of judges it could go to and get instant warrants for any wiretapping that it wanted to do on any person in the country. But to go out surreptitiously and rove the airwaves and listen in on conversations with people that are no threat, I think this is a very, very dangerous precedent. And I hope I believe the courts may have to get involved in this one. If it gets to the courts, I hope it rules very, very positively on the unconstitutionality of such eavesdropping.
Seeing all of the things that this administration has done or is attempting to do, the preemptive strike on Iraq, the Abu Ghraib, the request from the vice president and the president to be allowed to torture, the position that you can spy on Americans without a warrant in the pursuit of terrorism, and the redentions. What have you seen an administration like this, or do you believe that this is something that has always been done?
I don't believe that it has been done, if it has been done, on the scale of which we have seen over the past period of years through one administration into a second one. I am frightened at the direction our national leadership has taken. And I hope that before it gets completely out of hand, that the administration is called up short, whether it's Democrat, Republican, whoever is doing it, And then we get back to being the government of the people, by the people, and for the people, and remember that, because I think a lot of that has been forgotten. I think that we're almost involved in a national paranoia, not necessarily the average citizen, but the administration's paranoia over terrorism and what rights it has to go after it as it perceives it. Well, if it isn't within the bounds of the Constitution and its amendments, it is not what we want to be pursuing. So I feel that way about it totally. And then you look at the other things that are out there that have happened this year. You look at Jack Abramoff and these scandals, the corruptions, the buying political favors. We have got to go back and do everything we can to clean up government and make it truly a government of the people and for the people, and one run by the people. And I just hope we don't scare public-minded, intelligent, young men and women out of politics by their seeing the parade of ineptitude and corruption that they've seen over the past several years.
General, you've talked about what is not being done in the training for our soldiers while they are in Iraq. And we haven't even touched on the fact that not only are they not trained as they need to be, given the type of fighting that they're engaging in, they also don't have the equipment that they need. This government is now banging the war drum, rattling the sabers, talking smack to Iran. Is that a war that is sustainable? Can we do that given, and we also haven't discussed the fact that it's been so difficult for the military to recruit?
I know.
Is a war against Iraq sustainable from a military perspective?
The war in Iraq, we can continue to have troops on the ground using National Guard reserves and active forces. But the strains on the military are apparent and have been widely broadcast by many eminent generals and admirals with far more rank and experience than I. And the thing, to even talk about war with Iran is presumptuous, because what we have to do is do everything we can within the United Nations, within the realm of diplomacy, to keep from making that a shooting war. We right now would be rather out, we wouldn't be able to sustain a war in Iraq and a war in Iraq. It's in Iran. It's impossible. Let's solve one problem at a time. If we are dealing with Korea, North Korea, diplomatically, in its nuclear posture, then we must do the same with Iran. They have a leader that I personally shake my head at in disbelief that a man of this fanaticism is at the head of that government. But they elected him. They've got him. And he's who we have to work with.
Do you see this administration adhering to that? That your understanding of that view of that it would be unsustainable?
Well, that's me talking. They would probably say that I'm full of hot air. And I don't know what I'm talking about. That may be true. But I do not think the admirals and generals who have to provide the troops on the ground, the boots on the ground, the planes in the air, I do not think that they would in any way relish a war, a shooting war with Iran at this time. We must go diplomatically.
Does the military have any means, have any ability to express their concerns on a fruitless, crazy, and insane pursuit of Iran? What can the military do?
The commanders within the realms of the Pentagon and within the White House can very strongly express their views.
How do they do that?
They can, if they feel that a policy is
wrong. I mean, well, who was the commander that said, we need more troops on the ground, we need more boots on the ground? Didn't he get fired?
Well, that was General Shinseki, who is a wonderful chief of staff and a very bright chief of staff, who provided an estimate of how many troops would be needed to sustain the war. And he was treated rather cavalierly by DOD and the administration for having been so truthful. And it proves that he was entirely right.
But it also shows what happens to you when you are right. So,
well, it's like, you know, it's like anything in life, Liz. If you're in a corporation and you buck the hierarchy on a major product or a major promotion and you say that this is stupid if we do it, you aren't going to be part of that hierarchy any longer. So people have to take their stands where they see them. I'm proud in the military to have been able to stand up and speak out on issues that I felt were important. Because if I didn't do it, then as an officer of the United States Army and a public servant, I'm not doing my job. I'm not doing my job.
Is the need to do that greater than now, greater than at any other time that you have experienced?
I think it's great during any period of time because there are actions in any administration where if you don't speak out about the impropriety of an action or you don't stand up to be heard, it could hurt whatever it may be. I go back to looking how long it took us to go into Bosnia and how long before we went in for relief with all that was happening in Sarajevo. And I think, why did we wait so long? Why did we wait so long to take action? Because I guess people are thinking public opinion doesn't want us to do it. Well, public opinion didn't want the Holocaust either, and they don't want any mass suicides that they see or mass murders that they see on any continent. And if the people will stand up and say, you cannot do this and you must go stop that, then we will take action. That's the thing.
What is the Alliance for National Defense?
It is a small nonprofit. And I really mean nonprofit. We kind of operate on a shoestring. But it's a small nonprofit formed in 1998 to be a balanced and a positive voice for military women of all the armed forces. At the time we organized, there was a concerted effort going on to turn the clock back to the good old days that never were and resegregate women in training. Women only train with women, men with men.
Kind of like the Alito Club.
Yeah.
The Alito Club thing that he was part of at Princeton.
Oh, I couldn't stand the thought of that because we had gone so far in putting men together and women together for training when they were going to be performing the same job. Why not start right at the very beginning?
Mm.
And we formed then. We have a newsletter. We have a website.
What's that address?
The newsletter is The Advocate. Hang on here a moment, and I will give you the website. It's Women for National Defense. Or if you go into the website under the Alliance for National Defense, .org, you will find it.
Very good, and that has to be the last word. Retired General Evelyn Foote, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Liz. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. We'll be back after the news. Stay with us.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. It's over, and it ended as violently as it began. Seven people are dead after an overnight workplace shooting in Goleta, California. The sheriff's department says the suspect was a former employee.
There was a massive search for the shooter in the neighborhood around Goleta. It's also very close to the University of California, Santa Barbara. And the law enforcement or the sheriff's office just announcing up here that they believe the shooter herself turned the gun on herself.
ABC's Miguel Marquez in Goleta, California.
She was ours. I mean, African Americans and white Americans and Asians, Spanish speaking, she belonged to us.
Poet Maya Angelou on the death of Coretta Scott King, the widow of civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr., worked to keep her husband's dream of racial equality alive. Mrs. King had a heart attack and suffered a stroke last year. She was 78.
He'll talk for about an hour, and the White House says President Bush plans to hit on a lot of issues in tonight's State of the Union address.
Turning back to a chapter from his first campaign, President Bush says he will urge Congress to join in elevating the political tone here in Washington, restoring civility to what's a bitterly partisan mood.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. The Senate is about to vote on Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito.
The Senate vote to confirm Judge Alito may be even more partisan than the 52-48 vote that gave Clarence Thomas a Supreme Court seat 15 years ago. Then 11 Democrats broke ranks and voted for Thomas. So far, only four Democrats have committed to voting for Alito. 22 Democrats said yes to Chief Justice John Roberts.
ABC's Pam Coulter in Washington. Brokeback Mountain leads the way with 8 Oscar nominations, including Best Picture, Best Director for Ang Lee, Best Actor Heath Ledger, and Best Supporting Actor and Actress. The Academy Awards will be given out March 5th. ABC News Money Scope Dow and NASDAQ both down. This is ABC News.
Have you ever thought you'd like to buy and sell houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready for a real home-based business that can get you out of the rat race and into financial freedom? Hi, this is Dolph DeRoos. I have engineered a proven system to real estate buying that will show you how to buy money-generating properties so you'll never have to work again. I'll send you a free tape that explains how easy it is. Call 1-800-300-0464. 1-800-300-0464. 1-800-300-0464.
Get out of debt and get on with your life. Agencies offering Care One credit counseling services can help. If you have $4, $6, $10,000 in credit card bills, find out how quickly your debt can be paid off. Callers save an average of 30% in payments every month. So gather your bills and call now for a personal debt analysis. Licensing details available. That's Care One Credit Counseling Services. 1-800-695-9092. That's 1-800-695-9092.
A plane carrying wounded U.S. service personnel and ABC's Bob Woodruff and Doug Vogt is on its way to the U.S. They'll be taken to Bethesda Naval Hospital. Woodruff's brother David.
The doctor said at the beginning of this, this is not going to be a sprint. It's going to be a marathon. And we're all committed to making sure that we're there running that marathon with them.
Vogt is talking again today. We're getting the first look at what you'll see between the plays at the Super Bowl.
Come and get you,
whether it's Pepsi, Budweiser,
it's all here.
Cadillac or MasterCard,
priceless.
They all agree.
The Super Bowl is one of the most compelling showcases for marketers.
At a reported $2.5 million per 30-second spot, Cadillac's Jim Taylor doesn't flinch.
Albeit very expensive, worth every penny of it.
With 90 million or more people watching, for some, like Budweiser, it's a no-brainer.
There's no better way to reach adult beer drinkers than the Super Bowl.
Fresh.
Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, there is still no word on why a woman allegedly kidnapped her own grandchild and threatened to take her out of state. Authorities say they issued an Amber Alert Sunday evening after 44-year-old Deborah McFadden fled with 5-year-old Michaela Christie, saying she was taking her to Texas. Major Jeff Connor of the Granite City Police Department says the child's mother didn't feel the girl was in danger, but police were taking no chances.
The suspect has an extensive criminal history. She's been charged with homicide and arson and was on probation for shooting another person at the time she did these crimes.
Police say Michaela and her grandmother were discovered Monday morning at a Fairmont City motel. The girl was returned to her parents. McFadden remains in custody on a kidnapping charge. St. Louis Police Chief Joe Mokwa says Officer Nicholas Sloan is not forgotten. It was 2 years ago yesterday that Sloan was killed during a shootout with a drug suspect in North St. Louis. Sloan is the only Weed and Seed officer to be killed in the line of duty. Weed and Seed is a federal program aimed at reducing crime in at-risk neighborhoods. Finally this hour, running backs coach Wilbert Montgomery will not be returning to the Rams next season, according to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. New Rams head coach Scott Linehan has decided not to retain Montgomery, but he could soon find work as running backs coach with the Lions if Mike Martz takes the offensive coordinator job in Detroit. The Post-Dispatch also reports Linehan has decided to let go tight ends coaches Frank Faulks and Pat Carter, and Rams quarterbacks coach Scott Ramsdale is set to interview for the same position with the Chargers.
This WGNU News Report is brought to you by TomTom. TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
9:06 is the time here at WGNU, and it's time to take another look at traffic. Traffic is brought to you this hour by Robert Half. And the look for, let's check traffic here at the 9 o'clock hour. We find that northbound 270 at 44, the exit ramp to Watson is closed for maintenance work. Northbound 55 between Union and 44 is in good shape. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and Big Bend is on the move. Heavy traffic reported on Highway 40 between Brentwood and Hanley. Traffic is starting to get better now on Highway 40 between McCausland and Hanley. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed until the middle of the day. They're doing some construction work out there on them. 255 eastbound at Jefferson Barracks Bridge. The road construction has the left lane closed out there. Downtown, the Poplar Street Bridge is in very good condition right now. Kingbridge traffic is in good shape as well. A report of southbound Lindbergh after Ladue Road. There's a water main that's broken there. The left lane is closed as the work continues there. Also on I-44, St. Clair Rest Area. That's closed until March. Crews are putting in new toilets and water lines out there. And construction has Highway 367 closed between Dunn Road and Parker Road. And that's closed one lane in both directions. This hour's traffic brought to you by Account Temps, the world's leader in specialized financing staffing, financial staffing, that is. When you need temporary accounting or financial help, be sure to call on Account Temps. WGNU News Time is 9:08. The weather forecast for the WGNU listening area calls for partly sunny skies today with temperatures in the lower 50s, partly cloudy tonight with a low near 40. And tomorrow, cloudy skies with temperatures a little bit warmer in the 50s. Right now, it's 39 degrees here at WGNU, and back to another hour of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Esther Wright, General Manager of WGNU Radio. As you know, we are in the process of changing and starting new things at WGNU. To make the most of what you have to say and to air the best part everyone wants to hear, our engineers will ask you the subject you want to talk about as we start a new screening process at AM 920. We want to bring out the issues that matter most to you. Thank you for your cooperation.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself. yet. All men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to The Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. Our number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. My website is lizbrown.com. Check out the website, check out the corner store, check out the options, opportunities on The Wake Up Call website at lizbrown.com. And if you missed an hour of The Wake Up Call, shame on you. But that's all right. Get to WhiteRoseSociety.org, WhiteRoseSociety.org. We are streamed daily at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Take advantage. Go listen to an hour of The Wake Up Call, or two or three. Last hour we had General Evelyn, Brigadier General Evelyn Foote on, talking about the upcoming State of the Union address by George W. Bush. The state of the military as we continue to pursue this occupation of Iraq. We need to talk about, as General Foote said, that our military has not been trained. Our military is not equipped, and we need to talk about how that could be so. We need to talk about that thing called the defense budget, because I believe Donald Rumsfeld is fixing to come out with one of those budgets right now. So we need to talk about this. Is the budget too small? Is it too big? Does it not do enough? We need to talk about that. When our guest this morning to facilitate that conversation is Winslow Wheeler, the director of the Strauss Military Reform Project, and he's joining us from Washington, D.C. Mr. Wheeler, good morning.
Morning. How are you today?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Good.
So, budget. Too big, too small, or just doesn't tell the truth about anything?
It's an apt questioning because the typical Washington, D.C. talk, it is both too big and too small. It's too big. It's huge. It's larger than the rest of the world spends on defense combined.
Mm.
It's too small. It won't possibly, as big as it is, it won't possibly cover all the program costs that the Defense Department and Congress have wedged into it. Some people call that underfunding. Some people call that overprogramming. Take your pick.
Mm. So let's talk about some of there's also a bunch of pork in it as well.
For sure.
Can we talk about some of your favorite pieces of pork?
Okay. Taxpayers for Common Sense, an organization here in town, in Washington, counted $11.1 billion in pork in the bill. What they mean by that is stuff Congress has wedged into it. There's money for a Lewis and Clark bicentennial celebration. There's money for
how much money? Can you give us the dollars? Because that's always the telling part of the story.
It's a couple millions, about $2.5 million. There are thousands of these little projects that can be anywhere from a million or so to 10 million. Every single member of Congress packs them in, Democrats, Republicans, liberals, conservatives, moderates. If there were Buddhists in Congress, they'd be doing the same thing. It's a nonpartisan enterprise. It's been expanding, especially since 9/11. Congress thinks that an ongoing war is an opportunity to increase the spending rather than to increase it for things needed for the war.
Is this right? I'm looking at a $4 million add-on for fleece-insulated liners for ECWCSs?
Yes. That's just one example of thousands. The real problem about pork is that we don't know what it really is. Those fleece liners could be a good idea for giving to troops in the mountains in Afghanistan. They could be the worst possible idea. The problem is nobody in Congress has bothered to find out.
Who puts these pork items in there? How do they get into the defense budget?
Congressman Meehan of Massachusetts is a big advocate of adding fleece for uniforms, for winter gear. For some strange reason, that happens to coincide with the fact that he's going to manufacture in his congressional district. What he's not interested in is getting the Congressional Budget Office to estimate total cost of this. He's not interested in getting the contract competed so our troops get the best possible equipment for the lowest possible price. He's not interested in getting an assessment from the General Accounting Office as to just what troops need for winter gear. That stuff is in there because he wanted it in there, and he is able to convince the Democratic and Republican leadership of the Defense Appropriations Subcommittee that it should be in there.
And the thing that is amazing to me is they don't have, like you said, they don't have to describe what this is for. For in any kind of real detail. There's something as simple as the word, two words, Memorial Day, $900,000 for Memorial Day. And
right.
And that's it.
Yep.
That's the expense. What does that mean?
It gets worse than that. When Congress deals with the final version of this legislation, the text of the proposed bill is accompanied by something called the Joint Explanatory Statement. And this document, which is hundreds of pages long, is supposed to explain what the conference committee that wrote the final version did. And you just read the totality of explanation from the Joint Explanatory Statement on that item.
$900,000 for Memorial Day.
We don't have a clue what it is. It could be legitimate security for Memorial Day celebrations in Washington, D.C. It could be somebody's proposal to augment a parade with a new float. We don't have a clue.
Hot dogs and sodas.
Could be.
Outfits.
nothing is beyond the imagination of about 30,000 staffers on Capitol Hill wedging these things into defense budgets.
Now, how does the defense budget get their own items in there? Can they wedge items in there like this?
Sure. The president submits his request in the first week of February. We'll see it next Monday, February 6th. In there will be the president's take on the defense budget for fiscal year 2007. People like to call apart stuff that Congress adds to that request. It's not always just that. Sometimes members, the more powerful ones, are able to pressure the defense budget, the Defense Department, to include in the original budget request the goodies that, those senior members want. For example, Senator Trent Lott from Mississippi a few years ago wedged in a whole new ship for the Navy that the Navy really didn't have in its request and didn't really want. They'll take it if they can get it, but that's a ship that costs $several hundred million.
Now, we are technically at war. Does that have an impact on the size of the defense bill?
Yeah, it's been going up. It's gone up about 25-30% since George Bush became president. A lot.
How does that track with other presidents?
Under Clinton, in the first years, it was going down, then it was going back up. towards the end of his second term. The costs of fighting the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq are now cranking along at about $100 billion per year, and that's certainly a major part of the increase. But the non-war part of the budget has also been increasing.
One of the things that I'm trying to understand how they project and how they do this bill. Are we replacing things like ships and things like aircraft at the same time that we are retiring them? And are they both in that budget somehow?
Well, pork has a lot to do with this. When you add $11 billion, or when Congress adds $11 billion in pork to the bill, they don't increase the total cost of the bill. They find offsets inside the bill to pay for this. They don't like to find, they don't use the research and development or the procurement budgets. They want to add to that, so they hunt for other accounts to raid to pay for the pork they add to procurement and R&D. And their favorite target is the operating budget, the called operation and maintenance. This is the budget that pays for training, ammunition, spare parts, facility maintenance, weapons maintenance. So they're literally raiding to the tune of several billion dollars a year those accounts that pay for the junk they're adding in the procurement and R&D accounts.
Can you give us some examples of that?
Sure. In the O&M account, Congress took out about $500 million for training in the O&M part of the budget. They took out money for depot maintenance. They took out money for a strange term called unobligated balances.
What is that?
The money in your checkbook that you haven't spent yet, that's an unobligated balance. Congress was pretending there was no need for that money. Do you not need the money that's in your checkbook today?
Yes, I do.
It's just It's just that we haven't spent it yet. They're declaring this money excess to DOD's needs and substituting for that money pork in the procurement and R&D budgets.
So these are just like accounting gimmicks that they're engaging in.
Exactly right. Smoke and mirrors.
And where does that leave us? Because we have an ongoing thing on my show right now. Since the State of the Union speech is coming up, we have people placing bets on how many times George Bush is going to use the word terrorism and terrorists in it. Since we have this ongoing battle against terrorism, how safe does that leave us when we're doing these types of things?
Well, I should point out that the president's just fine with Congress doing this. He's not vetoed a single defense appropriations bill. The staffers in the Office of Management and the Budget complain about this, but nobody pays any attention to them. It's a behavior that everybody in this town is happy with, liberals, conservatives, Democrats, Republicans, the whole bunch.
Because of opportunities for $900,000 to be used in a Memorial Day.
Correct. Everybody benefits from it. You'll find press releases from Senator Bond boasting about these kinds of things that he's added to the defense budget. And your congressman, too. Democrats as well.
I'm looking at this $3.85 million for the Intrepid Sea Air Space Foundation, a museum in New York.
Right. That's the retired aircraft carrier Intrepid. It's a museum that's been lashed up to the dock on the west side of Manhattan. It's a fine museum. It should be publicly or privately supported rather than taking a few million dollars out of the defense budget to pay for it.
It's so hard to hear these numbers and to look at where the money is being directed and where the money actually ends up when we hear stories about soldiers saying that they don't have flat jackets.
Exactly correct. As a matter of fact, for the new budget that we're going to see next week, the Defense Department's idea of a good idea is to reduce the people in the National Guard and Army Reserve so that we can buy more hardware. But unfortunately, that hardware is not the kind that's relevant to the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. They're talking about trading in those soldiers for F-22s and things like that. Kicking and screaming, they've been increasing money for body armor and Humvee armor, but only after the press kicks Congress and Congress wakes up and declares it a horror story, and then the Defense Department responds.
Well, will we see any press conferences? Will we see any showboating of the amount of money on the amount of money that has been included in this upcoming bill budget for flap jackets and armor for Humvees?
Sure, that's standard. That's standard behavior.
I guess my question is: are they actually increasing the money, or is it another one of those accounting gimmicks?
No, they're actually increasing the money for armored Humvees. They've been heaving money in it big time for several years now, to the extent that you know, we're not going to see some of these armored Humvees come off the production line for a few years.
Mm.
It's the system's not gotten so horrible that when these horror stories show up, it usually is the case that they do put the money in and it does get spent that way. It's just that what you don't hear about is that it's going to take a while for this stuff to come out the other end sometimes.
Mm.
And, for example, a couple of years ago, Congress put a provision in the DOD bill to make sure that soldiers were reimbursed for their own personal outlays for camelbacks and body armor and things like that. Kicking and screaming, DOD's implemented that program. They failed to advertise it to their own troops, and they put soldiers through a torture chamber of, you know, paperwork to get reimbursed. And so,
how much money has been spent in reimbursing the soldiers? Can you tell us at this point?
There's been some articles about it. Very little so far.
Mm.
But we're going to see how that goes.
Let me get to a caller or two here. Dimitri, you have a question for our guest, Winslow Wheeler.
Yes, I do, Liz. Mr. Wheeler, my question to you is this, and I haven't heard you comment about it, but in the newspaper, our government proudly announces that governments like Pakistan and Israel purchase military aircraft at enormous amounts of money. Is it a coincidence that these same countries receive grants that more in excess than the cost of this equipment? And isn't that a kind of roundabout way of just giving away military equipment to our friends? I wonder if you would comment on that. Thank you, Mr. Wheeler.
Sure.
Mr. Wheeler, I'm going to have to ask you to hold that answer because we have to take a break. I am talking to Winslow Wheeler, director of the Strauss Military Reform Project. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Stay with me.
This is Leora Daniels, and I invite you to join me every Saturday morning from 8:30 to 9 for good gospel music and church news on the Highway to Heaven broadcast. Start your Saturday off right with me, Leora Daniels, and the Highway to Heaven broadcast, Saturday mornings at 8:30 right here on WGNU.
Before you go to the movies, go to Radio Free St. Louis. Find out what's worth seeing and what's not worth the bother. Join Dave Lenahan and Mark Glass for What's Good New at the Movies, a regular feature of Today's Solutions, Friday afternoons at 4:10 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at www.blacktie-stlewis.com.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap. Weekday afternoons, immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis. AM 920 WGNU.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Son, what you don't understand, my words might never explain. So I am hoping that I will. Things may not go as you planned, dark clouds might bring you pain, but I will be in your heart still, telling you don't look down. Don't feast your eyes on things that are on the ground. And if it gets hard to focus when you're traveling almost at the speed of sound, feeling.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. Our number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Also, the local number is 314-454-0400. The email address is revolution@lizbrown.com. The website is lizbrown, lizzbrown.com. And also, if you want to catch an hour that you've missed on the wake-up call, get on over to whiterosesociety.org, where the wake-up call is archived daily. Our guest this morning is Winslow Wheeler, director of the Strauss Military Reform Project. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. And, Winslow, we had a question on the way out.
Yeah. He was asking about arms sales to Israel and Pakistan and other countries. The subsidization for those kinds of transfers are actually not in the defense budget. They're in the State Department budget. They come in various forms, free grant aid, subsidized loans, and sometimes just straight-up commercial sales. The price for equipment that he was referring to, the questioner, is the full price. It's just that the terms of the transfer is sometimes favorable. In the case of Israel, it's a few million dollars per year of grant aid. In other cases, it's interest-free loans or low-interest loans. In the case of Pakistan, I don't remember whether the F-16s we sold to them were grant or free aircraft or under subsidized conditions. But it's a major program, but it's in the State Department's budget.
You raise an interesting point. Where are all of the places where military spending comes from? I thought it was all in just one budget.
No, it's spread all over the place. There's the defense budget for the year we're in right now, fiscal year 2006. So far, DOD has gotten a total of $466.7 billion. They're going to get another 50 to finish costs for the war. And that money will be appropriated by Congress in the later this year. That'll get us to a total of about $516 billion. But that's far from all. There are costs, as we just discussed, for arms sales in the State Department budget. There's about $15, $16 billion worth of costs for nuclear weapons in the Department of Energy. There are various sort of miscellaneous programs, selective service, the National Defense Stockpile, little items spread out throughout the government. That comes to another $4.7 billion in fiscal year 2006. So far, that gets us to $538 billion. That's not everything. If you want to include Homeland Security, that department has costs of $41 billion in this fiscal year. You might want to also include the Veterans Affairs Administration, consequences of current and past wars, another $68 billion. If you included all of the State Department's budget, foreign aid, reconstruction aid for Iraq and Afghanistan, aid to Israel, the cost, contributions to the UN, everything there, that's another $23 billion. If you add all that together, you get about $670 billion. You're not finished yet. You might want to include the amount of interest on the debt that DOD is part of. That's another, I believe it's about $20 billion, but I'm not entirely sure.
The interest on the debt is $20 billion?
Oh, just DOD's share.
Wait a minute. The interest on the debt is $20 billion?
Well, we have a national debt of several trillion dollars, and we pay that back. And there's interest, just like on your car or on your home.
Mm.
It mounts up.
So what's the final number?
Well,
if
you don't get into the budget complexities, DOD share of debt interest, my calculation is if you count DOD, Department of Energy, Nuclear Weapons, Homeland Security, Veterans Affairs, State Department budget, gets you to a total of $670 billion.
How much of that $670 billion in expenditures is kept from the public entirely that we have absolutely no idea?
No, it's all out there.
Is it?
You can go to the totals and appropriations bills are all public information. When the president's budget comes out, next Monday, it'll all be public information. You can add it up for 2007. The part that you don't see is the part that is for the intelligence community. That's embedded in the defense budget. It's hidden in various accounts. It's about $40 billion. Earlier last year, a intelligence official sort of blurted it out to the press that the costs were about $40 billion. But that's not additional. That's buried in the defense budget.
So when we say $40 billion, that's per year?
Yeah.
Per year. Okay, let me get to another question here. Ike, you have a question for our guest.
Yes, I do. Good morning, sir.
Morning.
I'm a Vietnam veteran, and my twin brother served in Vietnam, and he died from being over there. He had Agent Orange. And since I've been out since 66, I have been fighting this VA system a long time, and today the VA turns people away up there on Grand here in St. Louis and Jefferson Barracks. The programs they have down there for chemical and alcohol dependency is really ridiculous. These guys go down there for a little 10-day prayer, and they kick them out so they can't file and don't know how to get their benefits. And I've been an advocate of this a long time. I've been fighting it. It's about time. Why should I should wait till I'm 59 years old to get the funds that's owed to me? And right now, if I got paid, it would be $175,000.
Mike, what is your question for
us? My question is, they need to do something about paying us veterans our compensation and stop dragging their feet and playing with our lives.
Well, it's a pretty common complaint about how VA, the Veterans Affairs, delivers services. A lot of people complain about it. There's a lot of bureaucracy. There are problems there, no question.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. How would you make a comparison of our population and the amount of money that we spent on a military budget and other countries?
Yes. Last year, the entire rest of the world spent about, I believe it's about $510 billion. That number would, you know, for an apples-to-apples comparison, you should compare to our so-called National Defense Budget Function, which includes all of DOD, the Department of Energy, nuclear weapons, and things, the smaller programs like Selective Service. That totals about $537 billion. So there you go. We're more than the rest of the world combined.
And how much of the – we like have, what, 5% of the world's population?
Oh, good question. I don't know. Something like that.
So it's we're spending a lot. And I guess my question is that how can we spend so much more than anybody else, have so much more than anybody else, and still not have enough in the defense budget to do what we say that we're going to do?
Well, look at what's happening in Iraq. We've got a relatively minor conflict going on there.
It is a minor conflict. They don't have a Navy. They don't have an Air Force. It is minor.
Right. And it's much smaller than the Vietnam conflict. We had 500,000 troops deployed at the height of Vietnam. Now we've got about 140,000 in Iraq. Of those 140,000, only about 30,000-40,000 are trigger pullers in the, you know, real sense of the term. It's a relatively minor fight, but it's, pardon my French, but it's really crapping out our entire defense budget. We don't have enough troops to rotate in there and out of there to give them enough rest when they come back home. It's putting all kinds of strains on the defense budget in terms of repairing equipment and replacing worn-out or destroyed equipment. It's a minor conflict in the grander sense of the term, but it's really putting huge stresses on both the people and the budget.
And I guess my question is that being so, this is a minor conflict. Yet we have, given the fact that we have soldiers that are getting injuries now and surviving those injuries at a pace and in a way that they've never survived the types of injuries before, they're living. And it's costing the VA more to take care of them than the VA has ever had to spend before. What kind of spending do we spend on the VA?
Almost $70 billion a year. Right, the body armor that troops do have saves lives, but sometimes the medical care is truly extraordinary. It's quite good for troops in the battlefield. However, it does mean that soldiers who in past conflicts may have not have survived do survive, but survive with terrible injuries. So the per deployed troop cost for this war is going to be, in VA terms, is going to be higher than in previous years.
And one final question: how much money should we be spending?
That's a very tough question. If to my biases, there's a lot of unnecessary expenditure for not just for things that are so-called waste, fraud, and abuse.
Memorial Day.
Correct. But there are lots of systems that are no longer relevant to 21st century warfare. My favorite in that category is the F-22. We're going to pay more than $350 million per airplane, and we're going to buy a puny number of them, about 183 of them. They're irrelevant to the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the F-22 for us will be no significant addition to a conflict with any major regional power such as China that has a real air force. 183 airplanes is not a significant addition to our aircraft inventory.
What's your website?
www.cdi, as in Center for Defense Information, .org. And if you want to get to the Strauss Military Reform Project, just add a slash and SMRP to the end of that.
Very good. Winslow Wheeler, Director of the Strauss Military Reform Project. Thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
It's a pleasure talking to you.
Take care. We're going to take a break, folks. Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be right back at you. You need to stay with me. You need to stay with me. We'll be back for your calls, your comments, your concerns, your observations, what's on your mind, all of that and more. Stay with us.
Over, jilted lover, trusted brother, operating undercover, make you turn your back on your God. Tell me what you crying for. Let him go. He don't want you no more. What you crying for?
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, is your station for talk radio with a difference. Call now for your turn on the air. The numbers are 314-454-0400 or toll-free 1-877-920-WGNU. Individual results may vary. Some restrictions apply.
In times of trouble, how can the message of Christianity come to the rescue? Hear from people who found God's healing power and love through a better understanding of God's law. You'll hear not only about hope restored, but about complete physical restoration as well. That's on the next radio edition of the Christian Science Sentinel.
The Christian Science Sentinel, Sundays at 1 p.m. here on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
That's the Big Dipper over there.
Yellow and blue make green.
Well, a cow pie really isn't a pie.
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage, and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool, and kids will do likewise. For advice, visit actagainstviolence.org. Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, National Association for the Education of Young Children, and the Ad Council.
Start your Saturdays with Temple Time, the radio ministry of the Temple Church of Christ. Elder Clifford Matthews brings a transforming message from the true and living God into your home on the Temple Time broadcast every Saturday morning at 7, right here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and get a new attitude.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I know I'm praying for much too much, but could you send me the only man she loved? I know you don't do it usually, but dear Lord, she's dying to dance with my father again. Every night I fall asleep, and this is all I ever dream.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. My website, lizbrown.com, WGNU.net. We are streamed every day, 24 hours a day at WGNU.net. You need to get up. You need to get to us. We have much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yes, it's Liz.
Yes.
Hey, Liz, I'm coming on the police beat up.
Okay.
You know, Liz, if the black cop, the one with the jacket on, he probably be the only one who gets suspended.
Probably.
But he was trying to break the man's ankle. He was trying to thump the man's ankle. But the white cop, they probably get suspended. But
it's going to be interesting. I think that is an interesting prediction, and sadly, you're probably right.
I think Chief Mo will definitely get rid of him, you know.
Mm.
Well, I've seen it about three times.
He will be the scapegoat.
That's right. That's
all
right.
All right. Thanks, Cody. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call.
Hi, Liz. I think yesterday was a proud day in America where a bipartisan group of senators voted for closure with the debate, and now today will be even a prouder day because he'll be nominated. I'm sure it will pass today, don't you think?
You're talking about Alito.
Yes, okay. I am.
Talking about Alito. Well, I think I've made my feelings and my viewpoint very clear on the appointment of Alito.
Right.
The fact that Alito was the member of an organization that advocated for racist and sexist policies at a university.
May I ask you something?
I'm not finished yet. I'm answering the first question. So hold.
I didn't ask a question.
Well, you said, can I ask something? And no, you can't right now. So are you clear now?
Go ahead.
All right. Good deal. So the fact that he is a member of an organization like that and advocated for something like that and then got to in front of Congress, in front of God and everybody, and said, I don't remember my membership in that, even though he had put it on a job application, should be problematic to all people who care about truth and care about credibility and care about honor. I'm also very much concerned about the minority positions that he has taken on cases that he has ruled. He's ruled that it is permissible for cops to strip search a 10-year-old girl. That's a nutshell assessment of the case. That's problematic. He's also ruled on other issues that are problematic, and also indicate where he stands on issues and how he will rule. And I'm troubled by a process that allows somebody, affords somebody the opportunity not to be direct and honest about their position on Roe versus Wade. If you believe in Roe versus Wade, if you are opposed to Roe versus Wade, I don't understand and people that are advocate Christianity and people that advocate honor and truthfulness, I don't understand why you wouldn't say in front of God and everybody, no, I am morally opposed to Roe versus Wade, and that's my position. Tell me why he would lie.
He didn't.
You're better at that than I am.
He did the same thing that Mrs. Ginsburg did.
She
said,
was wrong.
I cannot answer on that issue.
She was wrong too. That's dishonest too.
They have to answer in those cases.
Sure they do. They can answer anything that they want to. Answering the truth should never be an option. Why couldn't she say, yes, I support Roe versus Wade, it's settled law, and I absolutely support it. And why didn't he say, you know what, I can't stand that rule, I am totally opposed to it. Why can't they be honest?
That wasn't the question. They were asking, how would you rule in a case, and they can't answer a case.
Of course they can answer on their position, because they were asked time and time again their position on Roe versus Wade, and their answer to that was, I can't answer that question.
One last thing. I think it's very important for the appointment today so that the president can use that in his speech tonight.
FDR, I'm sure.
Kind of rub it in
sure. That's what we want. A guy in the White House, when half the population of the United States is Democrat, half the population of the United States is Republican, we want a guy that we know will stick it to the people that didn't get their way. Rock on, America. Rock on, George W. Bush. Stick it to him, because this is a football game. It's not a democracy, and they're not real live people that live as a result of positions. So, as a Democrat, you got nothing coming to you from this president. God bless America. God bless America. You're on the wake-up call.
Hi, Liz. I wanted to make a comment regarding that last lady's comment. I think you're absolutely, completely right. And she needs to look at all our kids today and how they follow suit when these people lie and don't tell the truth.
That's right.
Absolutely.
I mean, both people should tell the truth. I want to know, and we have a right. And you sit up there, and they lift their little right arm up, and they swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, whatever. And they don't tell the truth. We're entitled to know what your position is because, as we all know, your beliefs govern your decisions.
Absolutely. Our kids are copying what happened
right.
in the White House.
That's right.
And they're copying Clinton in the schools here in St. Louis. Can you believe that or not, what happened with him and Monica and their court cases now? And they're copying the lying, the cheating, and everything else.
Well, they call it truthiness.
Yeah.
Oprah did it, too, when she said, it's much ado about nothing whether that man in a million pieces told the truth or not.
Oh,
nobody
yeah.
cares about the truth.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about the truth.
I know. They're just, I've talked to people who want to make wrong right.
Thanks.
And they're emphatic about it, and I can't believe.
And they also throw their Bible at you, too. They'll, in the name of God.
Yeah.
In the name of God.
Yeah.
You know, I care about life. Well, tell me why. If you care about the protection of life, and if you believe that George W. Bush cares about life, then explain why he would advocate and allow for the testing of pesticides on pregnant women by the FDA. It never happened before in the history of the world. The United States of America, through George W. Bush, is saying it's okay to test, to stick a can of Raid in the mouth of a pregnant woman. You care about life? I don't think so.
No.
Thanks
Mm-mm.
for your call, Kathy.
You're welcome.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Liz?
Yes, Jean.
I was calling. Last Friday, you had on the news about Bush was going to send money over to China to build a university so that they could learn some of the stuff that they produce over here in the United States. And I was just wondering, if they have money to send somewhere to build a school, a university for a foreign country, and they don't have money for education in the United States.
Let's compare apples to apples, Ms. Jean. There was a bill that was put together and introduced by Democrats, and I don't think that there were any Republicans, asking for several billion dollars to repair public schools all across this country, schools where water's coming in the roof, water's coming down on the books, no playgrounds, no playground equipment, all of those things. And do you know what this Republican administration said to that? They said no. So tell me that you give a horse's patoot about what's happening here. I guarantee you, Gene, the way that things work in this administration, the way that they do the hookups, you know, Brownie and what did he call him? Kenny Boy Lay, the one that's on trial for the biggest fraud and scandal in the history of corporate America. I guarantee you, if there is a university being built in China by this administration, somebody here is getting a $1 billion hookup. That's what's happening. They don't care about China either. It's about a $1 billion hookup that somebody here is getting to build that university.
And I was calling about this incident with the Maplewood Police Department. When a parent, you know, you have kids and it's your responsibility to keep a roof over their head, food for them, eating clothes on their body. But you cannot discipline your child else you'll go to jail. But you can see on television where a police officer is kicking and stomping and I have the right for them to do that, but it's wrong. And no, I don't think of a parent beating a child like that. Now they just giving them a spanking.
Well, if
they
did, let's do apples to apples once again. If a parent had their child who would run away from them because you were getting ready to put them on curfew or something like that, and they ran away from you, and you caught them, and they fell down on their stomach, and you started kicking your child, how deep in the jail do you think you would get?
All the way down.
All the way down. Jean, thank you so much.
Okay.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. We've come to the end of another day. All right, bets are down. No more bets. No more bets. The bets are all the way in for how many times George Bush is going to use terrorism in his speech tonight. How many times he's going to use 9/11. How many times he's going to do that. So all bets are in. We'll be back to see tomorrow how we all did. Until then, stay strong.
For all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that Congress.
that you made. You take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. Will he be confirmed? The question is, by how much? The Senate's about to vote on Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito.
The failure of a last-minute filibuster sent Samuel Alito on a glide path to becoming the nation's 110th Supreme Court justice. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist called the conservative appeals court veteran the right choice.
Judge Alito deserves to be Justice Alito.
The final Senate